Blog Talk Radio.
Gideon.
These be low in trees and fog drops and trees as I'm not a live.
Come we tell them this time I'm
ready.
It's
like you're crazy.
Every time.
You never know. You should know.
Everything that I have said. I've seen many situations. I had to avoid their
illusion.
Now getting caught in their confusion. Escaping this mental invasion. I've seen many situations. I had to avoid their
illusion.
Now getting caught in their confusion. Lest a man escape this invasion. Seems as if you're right. So why should I fight? Just to prove the point that this time. See that there is pride behind all this might. Cause I fail to see what's wrong from what's right. Can it be so hard to express my feelings? Oh Lord, about the misconceptions of my teachers. Oh Lord, Lord, Lord. Can't you see the prophecies
revealing?
Oh Lord, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh Lord, help us now that segregation is rising.
Rising.
Well,
man, I feel reap by them souls. Oh,
man, I feel reap by
them
souls.
Ambitious mind, elevating souls. Ambitious mind, evil see them as so. Frustration turns most friends into. Working day and night trying to overthrow. To counsel together, plot against a brother. Grabbing up a real who is a mind of a
hero.
The lady wicked gets a turn rock flow.
Oh, the wicked gets a turn rock flow. It seems as if you're right, so why should I fight? Just to prove a point at this time. See that there is pride behind all this fight. Cause I first to see what's wrong from what's right. Can it be so hard to express my feelings? Oh, yeah, about the misconceptions of my teaching. Oh, boy, yeah, can't you see prophecies revealing?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, help us now that segregation is rising.
It's rising,
rising.
When something learn them and teach, then no way I'm gonna reach. Ignorance out the full, yet no one speak. Oh, eating the people, they must straight out of seat. Everyone feed themselves, but place on a single. Eat on the glory, the earth to the meek. Hey, hey, if I laugh, I weak. Harvest time, how when them are gonna reap? You think the judge are dead, but see my life on a seat. We all got to reap what we sow. Man, I feel reap what we sow. Man, I feel. I say now.
You know it's Penthouse Gideon music once again. Yeah. You know,
hello and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, I want to go ahead and talk about black nationalism. But I want to get views from everybody before I start going in deep. So I really like to go ahead and hear from a few people. Again, I'm waiting for some of my guests to call in. You know, they're a little late. So, you know, people got lives and stuff, so it's cool. Screw that. So I'm going to run a few more tracks until they get here. I hope you understand. People got lives and they spend a lot of time playing with me. Let's hear a few other things real fast. Let me hear some Bushman.
Hey, love. I saved my mama by the ready cousin on the sunlight. It was the best to see with these four from the rise, Lord. Oh, I see it every day. right before my eyes. Another road boy gets saved from another gunplay. Oh. And it's the teaching that he provides, the slaying of so much life. But still, steep naked fools gonna go their way. There is some rude boys hanging in the alley. And if you pass, tell me, say you're lucky. The trigger happy wanna prove him skills. They give him Joe quick to kill. Gangsters are living high, like they wanna touch the sky. They don't care if another man leave or another man die. Don't bother leaving. Gangsta life, don't bother leaving. But this is like a suit of clothes, I know everyone is seeing. Gangsta life, don't bother leaving. Gangsta life, don't bother leaving. These two got his life, but some of them don't respect him. That's not what we want for the younger generation. But you have a one who you chiga happy, and a one like you a jan daddy. One a chucky, one a bossy. Don't you brother in a dopey. Take the life, don't bother living. Take the life, don't bother living. That's what it is like a sister clothes, and everyone is feeling so. Gangsta life, don't bother leaving. Gangsta life, don't bother leaving. Keep to Jack's life, but don't mistake it. Hey, gun daddy, you are gun daddy. Whoa, oh, 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 what you say about? I say I see it every day, every day, right before my home too.
Hey, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. Black nationalism is pretty much advocates for a national identity as opposed to multiculturalism, which we got a whole lot of people pushing that multiculturalism thing right now. I want to go here, which means they'll wipe us off the planet. Slowly pushing that. Anything that's indigenous type, the African type, into the ground, buried. But I was checking out some stuff, and it was saying that black nationalism goes way back to the Haitian Revolution. I mean, we owe the Haitians a whole lot of praise, and we got a lot of fools out here feeding into this shit that Haitians are. It's really fucked up, people. Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News. At 20 minutes before 8 Central Time, Professor Farrell of the Mount Jennings Observatory, Chicago, Illinois, reports observing several explosions of incandescent gas occurring at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The spectroscope indicates the gas to be hydrogen and moving toward the Earth with enormous velocity. Professor Pearson of the observatory at Princeton confirms Farrell's observation and describes the phenomenon as, quote, like a jet of blue flame shot from a gun, unquote. We now return you to the music of...
In the future where the graves play. Today is not yesterday, although we act as if it is. And if we are property, then ETs are the rebirth of goblins. Bombing perception with a truth so calm that it's invisible. A transdimensional object like time is a hologram of the human mind. Yet we're still talking in terms of I. Outdated like economy, yet all the politics that support it. We're still playing catch up with our cybernetics. More machines than man marching off the cliff for the program. iPod don't plug into iGod. Pod people follow the pipe of into a dense fog. Some gather water as the world burns, while others wait for the earth to turn. Some gather water as the world burns, while others wait for the earth to turn. The earth.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences.
Zero hits the fine illusion from the back. It'll give us to everything humanity lacks. Villains on the inside will pick up the slack. Let's just hope the environment don't snap before that. For every novelty series, there's some harsh facts. Like mankind seems to drying in the sack. What's 2012 gonna do about that? What's 2012 gonna do about that?
Extra, extra terrestrial. Invade your shell and fuck them with your molecules and cells. Look at the food and drugs they sell. Not 50 human consumption. Whoever made the assumption that the FDA is right, they can't be human like those shape-shifting politicians of a best citizen breed. Bloodthirsty villains that are driven by greed. And oh, they plant the seeds of deathbed division. The beast is now a vision to devour the human being. Time to rise as warrior queens and kings. Time to rise as warrior queens.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world is being watched closely by intelligences.
When straight of the man, zero hits the fine illusion from the back. It'll give us to everything humanity lacks. Villains on the inside will pick up the slack. Let's just hope the environment don't snap before that. For every novel series, there's some hard facts. Like mankind seems to drying in the sack. What's 2012 gonna do about that? What's 2012 gonna do about that? For those who know fast walkers, there's cardboard saucers. Open your eyes a little wider. Sometimes tricks are life, but life's tricks on the matrix. Deja vu to glitch to the 666 myth. Mind split by the plume serpent. Mind bit by the apple skips. We can lift one another, fall separate into bullshit. Yeah, the stakes are high. Look to the sky. No, not there. The one beneath your hair. You best beware. As magnetic poles switch like faces of reptilians, I hold on to the blessings of melanin. In this time of ultraviolet violence, vibrance is the best defense against silence. Thereby surviving, one to death. Inhale solar breath. Exhale all the hell you got left.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world is being watched closely by intelligence.
From the back, it'll give everything humanity lacks. Villains on the inside will pick up the slack. Let's just hope the environment don't snap before that. For every novel series, there's some hard facts. Like mankind seems to drying in the sack. What's 2012 gonna do about that? What's 2012 gonna do about that?
Greetings and welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. And what I was looking at before I was so rudely interrupted, which I feel another interruption coming on. What I was talking about was the Black Nationalist Movement, pretty much what I'm seeing here is that it pretty much got started with the Haitian Revolution, which that would, to me, would make a lot of sense. Martin Delaney is considered the grandfather of the black nationalism, and it talks a whole lot about, you know, I've seen a whole lot of stuff. I'm just going basically off some things I've read. You know, I'm involved, So I guess I was born black in America, so you ain't got no other choice, really. It's those who are either accepted or don't accept it. You agree with that, brother? Uh-oh, brother, you still there?
Brother Rob, can you hear me?
Yeah, got you.
Yes, sir, brother. What was the question, brother? You kind of blinked out.
Yeah, I think you're a black nationalist by birth. You either accept it or you don't accept it.
Oh, most definitely. I heard a little portion of the where black nationalism started from. I think a lot of us who are conscious into African heritage, our African culture, our African reminder, whether one would consider ourselves African, whether one would consider yourself black, whether one would consider themselves comedic, whatever it is you want to call yourself, I think from the time we were interrupted from our own traditions, from our own culture, and begin to become colonized and oppressed and exploited by those outside of who we were traditionally and culturally, nationally, internationally, I think that's when quote-unquote black nationalism started. I would say that, you know, Nat Turner's and all of those who we could look at historical who has pressed on, the Honorable Marcus, Mosiah Garvey, Nat Turner, and those of us who, you know, we know of from the historical realm are our reminders. You know, they are our reminders of what we were fighting for in the against the oppressor, against the exploiter, you know. This is our realm of research, you know. And so prior to them, though, you know, our brothers and sisters who were on the slave ships, our brothers and sisters who were on the continent fighting against the European, fighting against the British, fight, they were, you know, the starting foundations for black nationalism. We may not know their name. We may not know what tribe they came from. But I think they kicked it off, and we just became the reminders of what we're fighting for, you know. So most definitely, yeah, caught up in America as a black. Once you're born in America, that's it, Jack. You born into this struggle. You born into a choice whether or not you're going to fight for the struggle of freedom and liberation of your people, whether you're going to accept the suffering, accept the oppression, accept the exploitation, and just, you know, go along to get along and integrate into this utopian view of an American dream, or just be a realist, you know, be real about what's going on and try to do for self. We were created, you know, as tribes. And so that we were created as tribes that we can learn from each other. However, that tribal identity of us within the realms of America has been lost. And this is where we have our reminders, such as the UNIA, the Nation of Islam, and many other organizations who've come to redeem that mental capacity, that psyche of African people back into who we are as a people, so that basically they're reminding us who we are. You know yourself. And by nature, within our heart, we begin to know who we are, because once we come upon something that we feel in our heart belongs to us, it's just a reminder, and it's etched in your soul. You feel it that's me. You know, man, there's something about that. You know, what do we know about Egypt or anything? We you know, when we was young, we just probably adored the pictures. You know, we adored, you know, the outfits and the uniforms, and we, you know, it caught us like, man, well, what's these cats about? What's this pharaoh dude? What is that art? What is that cross? You know, things that captivated us mentally wasn't just captivating us in the mind. It captivated our heart. It captivated our soul, because our soul was reaching back out to itself, its essence, and we was shown that. You know, through pictures, we were shown that through books as youngsters, until, you know, it just captivated us like, man, I want to learn more about that. And in essence, it was just, you want to learn more about yourself. Things became reminders of who you are, and we just followed along in that, man.
You know, one thing that I see that just pretty much destroying, that was a good piece, brother. It was one thing that I see that's going ahead and destroying everything you said. It's like I say every time, it's fantasy and materialism. we're bombarded by fantasy, which blinds you from the truth, and then materialism, you go ahead and put a big value on things that you can't control.
Right.
That you're not going to be able to control right now, as long as you go ahead and you bedazzled by fantasy. And,
exactly.
And I think that's one of our biggest problems is that, you know. And I want you to go ahead,
yeah.
This thing we went to yesterday, brother, I want you to go ahead and kind of chime in on what you felt and go ahead and mention a little bit.
Most definitely,
about
most
definitely. The white nationalists we were listening to yesterday, versus nationalism. So, go ahead and give me your views, because I can't wait to go ahead and get that audio and start playing pieces of that. But then again, also, I got to go away and play my guy, my motivational speaker, that Jesse Lee Peterson. So after you finish, I'm going to have to go ahead and play that motivational speaker, because he keeps me going.
Most definitely. Well, Matthew Heinbach, white nationalist, interview yesterday with Brother Dawah Israel. Of course, as you heard, man, pretty much what this guy was saying, I can honestly respect him more than I can respect your average Klansman. Your average Klansman running off at the mouth, talking that BS, talking that bullshit, nigga here, nigga this. At least this cat pretty much basically won't what we want, like he's in the conversation we had, why shouldn't a black man have his own governing politic? Why shouldn't he have his own departments? This is coming out of his mouth yesterday. He said, why should he risk killing his children, and why should we risk killing our children? We should just easily separate from each other. They have their own governing body. We have our own governing body. Now, of course, the question is going to stem out. Well, how do you visualize that? And as Brother Dawah asked, how do you visualize that? Do we get a section of country and you get a section of the country, or how does that play out? And of course, he couldn't really evolve that particular question with an answer that would satisfy, satisfy both realms, because at the end of the day, it all breaks down to the indigenous lands. What was what? Who belonged to what? And then from there, you go from there. So this cat in the conversation yesterday, like he said, they want their own. We need our own Justice Department. Now, however, what he misunderstands is they already have theirs.
Right.
It's us who need our own Department of Justice, our own body politic, our own governing body, because white America already has it. Like he said, why shouldn't the black people should have theirs, and they should fight to have theirs. But what he lacks is that understanding that they already have it.
Let me say this. The thing that really stood out most, there's a few other pieces, but the thing that really stood out most in listening to this cat was when he portrayed himself as a victim and tried to equate his problems being Irish and being by others. That part bothered me more than anything else he said. Even some of the other stuff when he threw it up, his shit in there about the Bible and all this other stuff. The thing that bothered me most more than anything was he was trying to equate his struggles with our struggles, knowing
never do, Like he has the Irish blood in him. And from my knowledge, I was given a little. I don't know if it's true or not, but I was told from a little bit of his background, he also has a little bit of Jewish blood in him. But that's neither here nor there, because so did Hitler.
He kept.
Going
off about the Jews and the Jews and Jews Jews are Europeans. They're part of you. So, that stuff, that was another thing that ticked me off, trying to go ahead and distort the facts and the truth.
At the end of the day, man, to us, you're one and the same. However, at the end of the day, you can never, and as that brother from 2020 tried to suggest to our brother, that no matter how many times we could come up with a white on black crime, Matthew could come up with a black on white crime. How can you even compare a black on white crime compared to a white on black crime? There's no comparison. We didn't lynch white people. We didn't come and steal their culture. We didn't come and steal their traditions. We didn't come and steal their language. You see what I'm saying? We didn't have them sit back and consider them three-fifths of a human. We didn't sit back to tell them that slavery has ended, but yet it still exists according to the United States Constitution. We didn't sit back to tell them, oh, niggas, oh, by the way, we're going to give you voting rights, and that's going to end in 2007, and then we're going to sit back and vote to say whether or not you niggas can still vote again. Then you know that you niggas still not human. You're still three-fifths of a human being according to us. We didn't do that with them. So there's no comparison. No matter what you come up historically, you can never compare the atrocities what white people have done to everybody on the face of the earth.
Exactly, he was trying to all this comparison to this, and then doing the crime thing, and then I'm I was getting upset. You saw me.
Right.
It was ticking me off, man. I was like, come on,
man. And it's all psychological, because even with the whole question of the land, you know, when he tried to go into to say that there's records that Europeans have set foot on this particular continent, that there's records going dating back to 10,000 years ago. Now, okay.
And he brought up the Vikings. I mean, that didn't even exist way back. The pyramids were way back before that. And these cats, you can go ahead and see the records of 26,000, maybe almost 50,000 years, and you can see that, hey, look, at almost near that point, they had already been over here. So what is he talking about?
Even if you gave him that, we can sit back and say, oh, man, he wrong. Why debate that? Let's give them that. Yeah. Let's say, they was here 10,000 years ago. That still don't negate the millions of years that we've been here. It still don't negate that biologically we've been here first. It still don't negate that, according to science, geographically, and any other particular science that you want to adhere to, that even what your scholars are coming out with today and finally telling the truth that this all originated from us.
Right.
So he could have 10,000 years, but that don't negate Akhenaten. It don't negate, you know what I'm saying? It don't negate Horus. It don't negate Isis. It don't negate none of us. It don't negate nothing that we've had for eons. He could have 10,000 years is like 10 days to us.
Yes.
It's nothing. But at the end of the day, we could sit and talk about this all day long. We could sit and argue and be pissed off at the things that he say. However, when it comes down to it, no matter how mad we are, no matter how much we sit back and say, oh, he was wrong about this. Oh, man, he's just another white Nazi. Ah, man, he's this. But guess what? They training their children every day to wipe your ass out.
Five-year-olds
being trained every day. They taking gun class. Every day they taking sniper shooting classes. They're talking children. You don't believe me? Go on YouTube and look it up. You can see for yourself. Now, that's just not with the children. They could call.
You ain't just got to go on YouTube. I mean, they got a whole bunch of websites. You can go ahead and go to any one of these search engines.
Go on the website and look at how organized that they are organizing themselves for the quote-unquote race war. Now,
because he mentioned that.
Right. Now, when it comes to us, let's not be fooled. Even Matt got permits to carry. And this is a fact. He got permits that he can carry. What do we get?
Mm-hmm. See, because what we get. They're making sure that we got some kind of papers that we've been showing that we've been to jail, and so you denied that under their rules, their laws, you denied a gun permit. You denied a gun card. So that's what we get. So you can't go ahead and defend yourself on that aspect.
At the end of the day, you still can protect yourself. I mean, you know how we roll. But what about those who can? What about those who can? Why don't they go out and get it? Why don't the quote-unquote, and this is what I say, now that we have these conversations, white nationalism versus black nationalism. Let's be real about it. White nationalism exists. Now, if we want to talk about black nationalism, you hear so many of us say, oh, man, we a nation within a nation. And then they give they definition of a nation. They quote Marx. They quote whoever it is they quote in the definition of a nation. But let's be real with ourselves. Do we really have a nation as black people? If we was to sit and be honest at the table and look at each other in the face, do we honestly and truly have a nation of people, a nation that you can sit back and say, look at this nation of America. Look at the nation. Look at China. Look at Korea, North Korea, South Korea. Look at in any particular country, any particular state, and they say this is our nation. They got governments. They got an army. They got economics.
They got a way to feed the army, fund the army, move the army.
Exactly. They got a way to do exactly what you said. They could feed their army. They could operate their army. They got vehicles to move around in. They got communications. They got their own telephone lines. They got their, what do we have? Now, let's just be real. This is the conversation we should be having. If the topic is black nationalism, the question should be, do we have it? Or is it an idea that we're trying to obtain? That's the question. Because
that's right.
We don't have our own economic sovereignty. We don't have, let alone the army, to protect our economics. We don't have land. So are we looking at a utopian view? I disagree, because we are a nation, and, you know, a nation is a group of people who share the same language and who share the same cultural. Come on, man, that's a petty definition of a nation. That's a petty definition of a nation, because we share.
Let me run the motivation.
We share the same language. Now, if we share the same language, no, we don't. How the hell we share the same damn language? Now, you trying to say what? English is our language. That's our language.
That was always been confusing. Let me run the motivational speaker real quick, man.
No, I've often said that. Thank God for slavery, because, you know, had not, then the blacks who are here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. Mm-hmm. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestors way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough, but, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride, but you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough, the pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffer as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Okay, that was that great motivational speaker, Jesse Lee Peterson. My applause button ain't working. But we should always give praise to that brother. Hey, 347-240, your line is open.
Peace, what's up, man?
What's up, brother? How you feeling?
I'm good.
Did you like the motivational speaker there?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I remember before, like when I used to hear somebody like Jesse Lee Peterson speak, it used to make me so angry. Now, it's almost like watching, you know, old episodes of you know, some comedy or Sanford and Son. It's like, these guys, oh, man, it's like this. Jesse Lee Peterson is the end result of what we're supposed to be in this country.
Yeah, you know, that's why I call him a motivational speaker. If you don't take it as motivation to get your shit together, because look at what we wind up with, like with niggas like this. This is retarded, man.
Remember when I was talking about the nigger manufacturing machine?
Yeah.
That's the end result. He's like,
so here, give him a little bit more definition of what the Negro manufacturing machine is.
He is to coonery what Rembrandt is to art.
No, I agree with that. I've even talked about the same thing as you, brother. It's crazy. You know, when you say that, I've actually said the same. These rappers, they're trying to put out more niggas. They're manufacturing more niggas. They use them to manufacture more niggas. I would say that that's the high echelon. That's the perfect slave for the devil.
Yeah.
The perfect slave, Jesse Lee Peterson.
It was a rough ride over. You talk about understatement of the fucking century.
These tank sagging niggas were straight. They are the modern day field Negro. What can I say? They're the modern day slave that, you know, that they're the modern day workforce. Slave.
Hey, I got a question for you two brothers. My show tonight pretty much is black nationalism. And what does it mean to you? Brother Holocism, why don't you go first?
Well, I don't know who the brother was that was speaking before.
Yeah, introduce yourself, brother.
Yes, oh, brother Povey. Brother Povey. What's your name, brother?
Brother Hassan Muhammad, representative of the National Health Service Committee.
He had it on. He basically echoed the same thing that I've been saying since I got on YouTube years back. Black people, we are not a nation in any organized sense of the word. What we are a scattered group of individualists, and the only thing that aligns us is just aesthetics. We look a certain way, and we have like some cultural similarities. That's it. But on a socioeconomic and political level, we do not exist as a nation.
Exactly.
So when people start talking about we need to do this and we need to do that, the first thing I say is, who the hell are you talking about?
Right.
I agree. Because
who's we? Who is we? Before you can do anything, you got to first have a we. And the we is that socioeconomic and political infrastructure. That's where the conversation should be centered around.
Mr. Holder says real fast before you get into that, because I want you to break that down a little bit more. But go ahead and tell them about your YouTube page.
Yeah, well, what's my page? They don't mess me around so much.
Give me the link for the brother's page.
I think it's Holipsism for Life. That's Holipsism, the number 4, life.
Okay,
I listened to your show, brother. I listened to your show. You did Herb of the Year. Was it Herb of the Year?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I even do the House Negro Awards, so I like that. I like that.
We have to acknowledge our Herbs, because, you know, they do their job. They do what they're supposed to do.
I respected that 100%. You know, I was gonna say that there ain't no such thing as no black nationalist. That was made by the white man. That was made by the devil. There ain't no such thing as that. You look at all the black nationalists; they're all a bunch of hustlers. Since Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, every one of them that's come down from there been working for the devil.
Okay, well then hold on. Then that's not made by the white man. It was infiltrated by the white man. If you go ahead, based off what you just said.
Just like what the brother said, you know, earlier, what the brother was alluding to, you know, like, we ain't got no power. We ain't even seen or known. You understand? A black nationalist should have a bit more power than that, you know. You just have to look at this whole thing is a hustle. Any black man who's saying that he's a nationalist in 2013, look what he's selling. He's selling stuff. All these niggas are selling stuff. So Netsetti, Sarnetta, all them niggas from New York are selling stuff. You understand, Bobby Hymit, you know. It don't matter who you're dealing with. Malik Zulu, Shabazz, all them niggas are selling stuff. Louis Farrakhan selling stuff. You understand, it's all a hustle.
You know what my criteria is? If I usually judge, first of all, because everybody screams black power, everybody screams black nationalism, but my thing is, I want to know who are you taking your model from? Like, who, when you speak of nationalism, what's your definition and who are you getting that definition from? Who are you listening to? So if I hear somebody and they bump in some Amos Wilson, then I know, okay, you pretty much is on point. You know exactly what's going on. If you're talking about somebody just screaming and talking about the white man this and the white man that, then I'm kind of like, you don't quite get it. Because I'm telling you, I always gave props to Amos Wilson because I never really had an understanding of what a nation was until I listened to that man. Like, I heard the talking point many times before he came on the scene, but to break it down in practical terms so that it made sense to me, he was the one who did that for me. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and let's just look at it on a set. Like, if you have a neighborhood, right, and all of the people in the neighborhood is warring with each other, you got different sects and gangs, and they all going at each other and whatever. When an outside force comes and tries to take over the neighborhood, everybody is supposed to get together and put their shit aside to deal with the outside force.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just logic. It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Black folks are the only people, like I'm looking at the situation with Trayvon Martin. I'm looking at the situation with Oscar Grant. The cops don't fucking discriminate.
That's right.
The system does not discriminate amongst us. They don't see these variances and these differences that we seem to think is so important. They look at us all the same.
Right. And I take agreement with the brother.
So it's kind of ridiculous. We sitting up here worried about, well, I ain't fucking with this one because this one is a Christian. I ain't messing with him because he's a Muslim. I ain't messing with him because he's a Hebrew. Who can, the cops see you? Do you think they give some litmus test or go, well, damn, should I beat this dude up because he's a Hebrew Israelite? Well, I don't really want to beat him up. Let me beat the Christian up. They don't care.
Yeah, you know, that's the same thing. I try to put it to another way when it's talking about gunfire. I try to. Out here, where I stayed, one day I was in the street going ahead and trying to get support from a foundation, right? And so I come across this one brother who said, "Give me a call. I'm pastor of this church." I said, "Okay, well, I'm gonna get this brother a call." So this brother, you know, I explained to him what my foundation is about, and this brother told me, he said, he let me go ahead and run through my spiel, my mission statement, you know, the purpose of my foundation. Then Andre, all of that, he didn't pay attention to none of that. He asked me, was I a Christian? After all that, and I was dumbfounded. And he asked me, well, he said, well, you know, it's in God's hands, and gave me the normal bullshit. And I said, hey, look here, brother. I said, look. When these bullets start flying, they're not going to go ahead and stop and go around the Christian and hit somebody else. Or hit every goddamn body. So I said, this thing is to help a whole lot of young brothers and sisters out here and to help us as a people. And I don't know where the fuck you get that shit from. So, you know, you can go ahead and keep, if you want to keep your religion, I ain't gonna beat on you. But you got to realize that at the end of the day, you peel off all your goddamn layers, you still black. And that's one thing you need to recognize. You know, that motherfucker told me get out of this goddamn church.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have no leadership.
I'm back on.
You are, brother. He was trying to say something, Brother Fukan. Go ahead and present your piece. Oh, wait, first off, let everybody know who you are and where you come from.
You hear me now, brother?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, the phone went up. Again, Brother Fukan Muhammad, Representative of the National Solidarity Committee. Trying to build this umbrella, man. That's the brothers and sisters trying to build an umbrella for the various organizations that we do have and trying to set up for example, Africa has the African Union, the United States has the United Nations. We're trying to build the National Solidarity Committee, bring these organizations together, whatever benefit, resource they may have, let them put that in their place so we can create our own Department of Education, our own Department of Justice, our own Department of Culture, our own Department of Agriculture, our own Department of Finance, et cetera, et cetera. It's later for all that thousands of organizations doing their own thing, but we don't have one consolidated foundation.
Thank you. Thank
later
you.
For all of that, man. You know, it's later for people just supporting each other's lectures, people just supporting each other's speeches, people trying to collect in the collection plate. You know, if we're serious about freedom and liberation, who's going to take up the mantle and start putting these departments together? Who's going to take up the mantle to really sit back and truly build a nation? Before I got cut off, I was going to say I agree with what the brother was saying, especially in particular with the Amos Wilson piece. That's nationhood. At the same time, it's the vision for nationhood that Amos Wilson had. And a lot of us, you know, who consider ourselves black nationalists, at the end of the day, it's that vision. Case in point, the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. When they began the Nation of Islam, the question, I believe, and I read this in the books, but the question was that, why did he call it the Nation of Islam when they had yet to achieve a nation? He called it the Nation of Islam because that was his vision, to see the nation established, and they called it the Nation of Islam. So I take that and I build that to say that I think many of us who consider themselves black nationalists, I think they have that vision of nationhood. However, at the same time that we have this vision, they skip out on the reality of, again, that the nation is not here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and until we put the nation together, then we're going to have this defeatist mind frame, this fear, because we lack the capacity to put this together. And as I stated earlier, you know, we could sit all day long and I mean, we got hundreds, including us on the phone, hundreds of people along with us sitting here on the phone who could talk all day about history, who could give a great lecture on history, what happened in the past. The question now is, where do we go from here? If I talk to my two brothers on the phone and one of my brothers throughout this radio interview, one of my brothers may be an economist. The other brother may be an engineer. Will I ignore him being an economist and not relay the idea of, hey, brother, how do we establish the Department of Finance with your expertise? Where can you help to begin to establish this Department of Finance along with others who are in your realm of expertise on the on economics? And then grab this brother who's an engineer or who's an agriculturalist and say, how many farmers do you know, brother, that's sincere in nation building, that we can go ahead and put together a program, a platform, a blueprint, the policies, the mandates, the discipline, all that.
Let me say something to that. The only real black nationalists we've ever had is Elijah Muhammad and Mark Scarvey. Now, we got to understand that when we look into the history of nationalism, it started from, what's his name, Prince Hall, who was an abolitionist who was trying to fight against, what do you call it, against slavery, the African Lodge and all this, that and the other. So, you understand, and he was financed by the damn devil as well, the British, so that they could cause confusion in America so they could take over. So we got to understand that just because you wrote books, you know, no disrespect to Amos Wilson, a great man, you know, and he's a teacher. I'd say he's a teacher.
Yeah,
but as far as calling him a nationalist, I wouldn't say that, because if you ain't building nothing, you ain't.
No, exactly.
I ain't heard of him leading like even 100 people into something
right.
new.
Right.
Like Elijah Muhammad was a nationalist. He was a nationalist.
Most
he was building.
Most
he had
Garvey.
He had
was
there, there's no. There's no anyone can try and criticize him and say what they want to say, but he weren't begging. See, these nationalists now are beggars. These nationalists now are beggars.
And to be real, the nation, and this is what the nation, and this is through the lips of Minister Farrakhan himself. He said the Nation of Islam was to be an expansion of the UNIA and the Moore Science Temple of America. Because in those three, from the NOI, the UNIA, and the Moore Science Temple of America, you dealt with sovereignty coming from the level of the Moore Science Temple of America. You dealt with the economics coming from the UNIA, and you dealt with coming from the Nation of Islam, the pure based foundation of not just the spiritual component, but the manifestation of industry. Now, if you look at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and what the Nation of Islam built at that time in Chicago, and if I don't know if you brothers from Chicago, but Brother Rob, you remember, you could go up and down 75th Street all day long, and up and down Cottage Grove, Stonia, and what did you see? Grocery stores.
There was a lot of shops and a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
And a lot of commerce there. It was a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of commerce. When you say
that Elijah Muhammad dealt with all that Moorish stuff. I can admit to Elijah Muhammad taking some of the some of the ideas. Just the building from Marcus Garvey. He used to talk about him in his book. But they ain't got nothing to do with no Moorish science, man. Those are trying to connect themselves with Elijah Muhammad's teachings. And Moors ain't producing nothing.
Louis
Farrakhan's lying, man. He made that up, man. Because he's trying to do it. Because what Elijah Muhammad was teaching, ain't no one else teaching that on this ever has come and taught what he was teaching in those books he writes. Ain't no one teaching what he's teaching, and the Moors don't teach that. He wouldn't have taught, oh, well, we can get sovereignty. I don't hear no sovereignty in there where you can get rights in America. He was telling you over and over again, you had to do for yourself because this devil don't give a shit about you. And soon you'll have no more jobs for you. Ain't no sovereignty in the United States. That's why he was telling niggas not to walk up and down with guns so that this devil don't kill you wholesale, indiscriminately. You understand? Those Moors are crazy, man.
From the perspective of the Nation of Islam, I think any of us, I would humbly have to disagree with what you're saying, brother, because mm-hmm. I would say any of us who are really fighting for freedom and liberation of our people,
mm-hmm.
we are the expansion of all of those who came before us in some type of field of resources, some type of field of tutelage. Now, I may disagree myself with some aspects of the Moore Science Temple of America. Many people may disagree themselves with some aspects of the nation, some aspects of the UNIA. Whatever disagreements we may have, at the end of the day, none of us can disagree that we do want sovereignty for our people. That's one aspect we could agree on. None of us can disagree
It depends on what type of sovereignty.
With the Moors,
Hold on, brothers, one at a time, please.
Say with the Moors, one thing I do not disagree with the Moors is that you have to understand and learn law. Now, from my perspective, I would say law in creating the laws of our nation. I'm not talking about the United States of America's laws. Yes, read them, understand them, learn them, because just like the Black Panther Party, they taught the people the laws. They taught the people how to fire back at the United States government with their own scripts, with their own literature. And so, yes, learning to that field, because we had people like the Black Panther Party who represented in that particular aspect, in that field, and how to educate and teach the people. However, on the other level of law, we need to start creating the laws of our nation. We need to start creating the laws of the policies and the mandates of our nation. And so I could take that and say, I can learn that from the Moors. That yes, we need law. Because
let me say something.
Hold on, let Brother Holison come in, because you two brothers been speaking. Hey, Brother Holison, go ahead and speak.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody saw on my channel. I have a video I recently did called Black African Infrastructure Redux, where I felt like I had to explain what an infrastructure was because I was getting a lot of questions from people. And then I realized, well, you know, I never really gave an in-depth description of what an infrastructure is. So I did that on the channel. And basically, to make a long story short, we get involved in these social issues that are going to have us fighting with each other forever. Mm-hmm. Infrastructure is not prejudice. Infrastructure is about the maintenance of the system itself. So you have to have land. You got to have you have to have power. You have to have roads and highways. You have to have, you know, basic what they call hard infrastructure. So the example that I use is that when you're in New York City and you have to get on the mass transit, because that's the infrastructure, the transportation infrastructure in New York is the MTA. MTA doesn't ask you whether you're Muslim before you get a Metro card.
That's right.
You got Muslims. You got everybody. Even people like the disgusting dregs of society have to get a Metro card and get on the system. The system doesn't care about your ideology. It doesn't care. All you are there for is to maintain and power it. And we need to start having the discussion. Because my thing is, these intellectual discussions that we're having about the variances between this ideology and that, that's good for conversations in Starbucks. But when it comes to infrastructure, it's totally irrelevant.
True.
Black African people have to have a context that we control. And then once we control the infrastructure and we control the basic, the hard infrastructure, the soft infrastructure, which would be the institutions and the things like that that help power the hard infrastructure to keep things going and to maintain itself, then we can have these intellectual discussions all day long. And I love it because then no matter what, you can have all these different ideologies all get on a Metro, go get a Metro card and pay for that system. They can all get in the car and get on roads and highways and pay tolls that go to the nation. And they can go to this meeting and then have a big argument and discussion about whose religion is the most right. And then it's all good. I could care less. We need to start having discussions on that level. Because until we control the context that we exist in,
exactly,
all of this discussion is really meaningless. This social issue stuff that everybody's so amped up about is really meaningless.
And I look at it
logistically. I really don't want to have. Now, I know that the original concept was to get states in America. But from a logistical standpoint, do you really want to be surrounded by white folks in your nation?
Hey, Brother Farrakhan, this is all I'm saying is now when we're looking at law and what the devil taught us. I mean, what we got to understand, like Elijah taught us, if you do the crime, you're gonna do the time. See, these moors ain't letting us know nothing that we don't already know. You know, most of these niggas you go to them brothers for help, they're in problems already. So that if you don't do the crime, you won't need to be inside the court. I try my best to stay out of anything that's gonna bring attention to me by the devil. I'm just trying to say.
You understand what I'm saying? Because I know that we should use or dictate ourselves on the laws of America. I said, from the standpoint, let me get an explanation of what the National Solidarity Committee is about. One thing we cannot ignore is that you do have various organizations out here. That's one thing we can't ignore. Nobody's going to negate who they are, you know, people who grew up in the nation who loved Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they're not going to negate that. Whoever grew up in the Moors, they're not going to negate Prophet Noble Joy Lane. People who grew up, not going to negate Marcus Garvey, any other cat. Now, one thing we said was we have to understand that each organization, each essence of what has been established within us as a people toward the gain of freedom and liberation, each of those essences, each of those attributes have to find their way together and
able to sit down with each other and say, here's what we can offer into this nation building. Now, when I mentioned the Moors, I said we can take the example of the Moors in learning law. Now, I didn't say go and just learn American law and we go take American law and put that as our law. Hell no. What I'm saying is use that example to say create your law. Create your law as a nation of people, because at the end of the day, like my brother just got through talking about, at the end of the day, these conversations about who's who, what's what, and like you said, whose ideology, I don't get myself involved in that, brother, because nation building is my thing. And so we need law, because like the brother said, you need land. You need laws to govern that land. You need your policies. You need your mandates. It's like the last show we talked about, Brother Rob. Remember the brother got on and he was talking about the quote-unquote black-owned banks. Go support the black-owned bank. I said, name one black-owned bank in America, because you can't name one black-owned bank. Seaway ain't a black-owned bank, because the currency that rolls through that bank, the policies, the paperwork that controls how that bank moves is not established by any African. It's established by a foreigner or a European who dictates from the Federal Reserve how that damn bank is run and how the currency comes through that damn bank. We don't have a black-owned bank. And so my thing is, when we're dealing with building the nation, you create your laws. Take that example and learn law. Learn your law. Create your law. Take that example and learn your economics. Create your economics. Yes, we here in America, we have to deal with the currency of America, but at the same time, are you gaining some type of international communication so that when America chooses to vamp their currency, you can fall back on gold, you can fall back on the minerals of the earth, because you have a connection with your African brothers and sisters on the motherland, or you have connections with other countries.
Can I chime in on this conversation?
Yeah, brother, I
just want to say something quickly, though. I just want to say something quickly to you, though, brother, before you go in. But go on. Announce yourself, innit? Go on.
Who's that, brother? Who's that? Is that Minister
Dawood? Yes, sir, it is.
How you doing,
peace,
brother? How you feeling? Good. I'm glad to hear you here.
Peace, I'm good, brother. I missed a couple of your shows, and I usually don't be up this late, man. But I see you dealing, so, you know, I stayed up so I could be a part of it, man. And I really, really appreciate what you've been doing.
Thanks, brother. I'm trying.
Yeah.
Go ahead, chime in what you just heard.
Let me say something to what the brother was just saying quickly. Let me just say something to that. See, what when you're saying that we need to make our own laws, I agree with you. But what we need is a code of conduct between us. Then we wouldn't need no. We don't need no legislation. We don't need no government where, you know, we have an agreed code of conduct. You know, like you don't sleep with each other's wives. You don't sleep, you know, if you're going to be with a woman, you make sure, you know, if you're going to have children with a woman, you look after your children, you know, things like that. We need codes of conduct, then everything will be all right. You know, if one of the black brothers go and steal from you, we deal with it as a community first before the devil gets involved. You see what I'm trying to say?
Hold on. Let the brother just came in. Let him chime in, because everybody got a little bit in, and he need to get some pieces in.
Well, first of all, peace to the fam. You know, Poverty, is good to hear from you again, my brother. I recognize everybody's voices pretty much. Peace to my dear brother Holipsism.
Peace.
And peace to what you call Chef Rob, and my dear brother from the National Solid there. Listen, I would say this, and I fall a lot on the side of Brother Holicism when it comes to infrastructure. My problem is that we can involve organizations in the conversation of nation building, but my problem is that organizations, black organizations specifically, whether you have the nation, the Moors, or whatever, are not really up to the modern time with the idea of nation building. Most of the organizations are teaching their followers religion. And it's not necessarily a religion that makes you feel proud and makes you want to go get a skill to contribute to nation building.
That's
so what happens is
And I'm speaking from a man from the inside, not a man from the outside, because I did my time in the Nation of Islam. You know what I mean? I did my time. I went to cities. I soldiered. I ran the FOI house. You name it. Nobody could tell me a damn thing about Elijah Muhammad. Nobody.
And I can understand
for
that.
For me, what I find is the problem is that you collect so many brothers and sisters together on the idea that of separation, that white people are enemy, this, that, and the next thing. But you do not empower them with the idea, listen, if we're going to build a nation, what the fuck are you going to do?
Right.
What are you going to do? Oh, you over there, what are you going to do? We don't do that. We don't do that. What we do is we say we are a nation, we're together, and we try to give this illusion that we are a nation, but we don't empower the individuals to have a goal, a stake in the nation, as in, what are you going to do? Well, me, I'm going to be an electrician. Me, I'm going to be a carpenter. Me. So for me, over the years, my ideology has changed. It has changed from defending black organizations and saying that they got a right to be in existence to even challenging the idea, well, what was your motive if you collected all of these people together and everybody is still broke? What was your motive if you got people that still riding the bus after 10 years
right.
being in your organization and they ain't got no car, they ain't got no house, they ain't got no this, they ain't got no that? And so, brother, I really love your ideas. I swear I do. I do. My problem is not with you. My problem is with the people that we're going to be dealing with, the organizations, because even in the so-called conscious community, there's a lot of information being spread, dispersed and dispensed with, but the information is not motivating brothers and sisters to get physical, tangible skills that when we say, let's just say today we said, you know what, they got some land for us over in Africa. We can go over there right now. We can build. How many people are going to be useful in this?
Thank you.
I guess I'm going to close my point with this one last thing. And this is just really near and dear to me. I remember reading an article after Hurricane Katrina had hit New Orleans. And they had this brother out there. He was a general. He's just your typical dude with shades on, smoking a cigar, whatever. He was running things out there. And they asked him, they was like, yo, listen, like, you're out here and you're making things move. Like, what is, you know, what's your concept? He said, well, for me, I keep you media people the hell away from me. He said, the people I'm looking for, he said, I'm looking for the people who know how to run government. I'm looking for the people who know how to build. I'm looking for the people who know how to fix things. He said, because they can get this city up and running as soon as possible. And that article kind of changed my whole philosophy of teaching and preaching the message, because I love Elijah Muhammad, and I'm always going to be a follower of Honor Black Muhammad, no matter what. But I understand that there's an aspect of the Honor Black Muhammad's teaching that is minimized, and what is maximized is the religious part and the godly part, but the man kept telling us, do for yourself and get something for yourself. So
right.
Here it is, if they destroy the city, like I'm from Coney Island, you know what I'm saying? And when Hurricane Sandy hit Coney Island, like it devastated certain parts of Coney Island. In order to revive and rebuild Coney Island, I actually have skills that would have been able to help, you know, rebuild Coney Island. But then there's a lot of people that I knew growing up, and they working at Burger King or McDonald's, and they don't have no skills, so only thing they can do is sit around waiting for the white man to come put the lights back on, you know, come
right.
and get the water running again, come and do
right.
this, come do that. Like me, I could come through and get your power back on. I could come through and fix your power supplies. I can come through and fix the locks in your house, because these are the two skills that God blessed me to acquire, not because nobody in the nation told me to do it.
Right.
Because my father's a locksmith, and I'm a third-generation locksmith, and my father's an electrician and helped build the World Trade Center that they knocked down. And even though my father saw me transform and become a Muslim, put on a bow tie, shave my face and all of this stuff, he kept banging on me saying, son, you have to get a skill and you have to be committed to what you eat from. And I fought him for so many years and said, Dad, no, it's about this nation. We got to get behind the man, whether it was Farrakhan or whoever it was. And my father kept looking at me and looking away and say, when you get older, you're going to know what time it is. And when I got older, I did, because as I always say, listen, brother, there ain't no 401k in revolution.
Right.
It ain't no stocks and bonds in revolution. It ain't nothing. So when you get older, if you have devoted your life to just preaching a word or talking a word or whatever, you ain't got nothing inside of you that allows you to collect and make resources, then you're going to be bitter, old, and most, that's why a lot of dudes get older in a revolution, ended up screwing white women mm-hmm. and marrying white women because they were so pro-black for so many years, and the investment in pro-blackness did not pay off when they got older. I'm yep. just saying that if we're going to have this nation this nation-building conversation, then we need to collect as many individuals as we can that's going to physically, and I mean physically, help us build a nation. Yes, I do believe we need law. I do believe we need cultures and traditions. But goddamn, you know, we're going to be a bunch of poor, you know, broke, law-having Negroes in some new nation. You know what I'm saying? And I think the big danger of not having skills but having a nation is that it's just like with the Muslims. The Arabs. Not the Muslims, but the Arabs, I should say, because they're pale Arabs. The pale Arabs is broke and poor, and exacting laws on each other, like you can't fornicate, you can't adulterate, this, that, and next thing, and ain't nobody got no money. You know what I'm saying? So they got nothing but time.
And you know why? And I'm telling you, I love people, and I ain't trying to step on no toes.
Come on with it, bro.
Religion is the problem. Because you got, like you said, we are trying to apply something to a situation that is irrelevant to. Infrastructure is what is exactly what you said. Science, technology, engineering, mathematics.
Yes, sir.
I cannot, and I said this before, I cannot fast and pray an irrigation system into effect.
Well, I will say this, brother. I think, Brother Minister DeWood, I know you is I'm a student of the great Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, you know. I've got, if not all of his books, maybe just maybe one book that I ain't got. And, you know,
I got a couple I can send you, probably.
Huh?
I got a couple I can send you, man. I got every book in my closet. I got every book, you know.
Is that Colin?
Yeah, Colin.
Hey, what's up, man?
Chef Rob.
Oh, PC.
And the other brother from the
Hi, Rob.
And
Chef Rob.
Minister Dawood, man, you just dropped it. And
also,
oh,
yeah, man.
I had an uncle that worked in the World Trade Center, too. 1975, right?
Oh, for real?
Minister DeWood says so much. I don't even need to say nothing no more.
That's
today.
What I'm saying. No, I don't even feel like I can do better.
Nah, I've been wrong.
In 1975, I had an uncle. My uncle Terrence worked on the World Trade Center, and they lived in Bed-Stuy. They lived in Bedford-Stuyvesant. And when I used to go down there every summer and stay with them, you know, my Nanette, my uncle Terrence. And he worked on the World Trade Center in 1975, you know?
Wow. I'm pretty sure that he's a correspondent because my father worked about that time also.
Doing that, so they probably knew each other,
I just wanted to make a defense, you know, because Brother Minister DeWood, now I know that you ain't, you know, your young brother, you weren't in the Nation of Islam in its heyday. You was in it when Farrakhan was the leader. That's what I'm thinking. I don't think that you would, you know, you tell that to a young brother. Maybe
but all, the, you know, all what you're saying probably is irrelevant. You don't understand. I guess you don't really get what we're trying to do.
No, but
Elijah
Muhammad wanted to put us in, you know.
Okay,
how about this?
We'll name, when we get this nation, we'll name a street after Elijah Muhammad. That would make you happy?
No, you know what? Let's see what you're going to say. Let me say, what are you saying, brother? First off, brother,
no,
I'm 42.
Yes, okay. So I'm trying to say that you wasn't in the Nation of Islam when Elijah Muhammad was alive, I don't think.
Correct.
And you wasn't a baby. That's what I'm trying to say. So, you know, Elijah Muhammad's track record, if you look at everything, even the devil had on his media how many shops and stuff that he had built. You know what I mean? The man was all looking to open up his own bank, if you read the Theology of Time and Message to the Black Man. That's what his ideas was. He was trying to build. That's all he was thinking about. He was talking about going back to Africa and stuff like that. How he's been all over
poverty, though. Listen, me and you are speaking the same language. We're talking the same thing. My problem is that we did not continue what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad started. I don't think that, I hope and pray that what I said a couple of minutes ago was not putting down anything that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did or said. What I'm saying is that No, what I'm saying, brother, is that as a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and as a person that understands what he was trying to do and what he did, I just think that the groups that we have now that represent him are teaching either the religious aspect of it or the knowledge aspect of it. They're not really teaching the what it was supposed to do was evolve into a nation within a nation and then a nation of your own. If you hear my show, that's all I ever say.
No, I've heard it. I've heard it. I might dismiss, you know, I just felt like you was just, you know, come saying, under Luisha, it's gone south now. You know, but under Elijah Muhammad, he was actually doing this work. Since he's gone, it's all been destroyed. You know, all of his good work is gone to hell now.
Brothers, can I say something? Because I'm going to have to get off the phone, but I just want to make this one statement before I leave.
Sure.
What I believe that we're proposing, when we talk about nationhood, we talk about land and infrastructure, is like Marcus Garvey and Elijah Muhammad on steroids. What we haven't done yet. The vision that we have in our head, there's been organizations that come close. There's been organizations that have ideologies that match what we're talking about. But in terms of physically having this nation and this land and what we're talking about, the vision of Pan-Africanism, it hasn't been done yet.
This is everybody
that came before us. They were the models and the things we need to learn from, but we're talking about that on steroids, and that's all I'll say about that.
We're talking about actually doing.
Brother,
you're
gonna be on that show Saturday, right?
Saturday?
You know what?
Yeah, Saturday night.
Well, I will now. What is it? I didn't hear about it.
I posted it in the group, man. It's going to
be the Black African Infrastructure Show.
Definitely.
It's like intro on us, you know?
Definitely. I will be there.
Okay, fantastic.
All righty. Talk to your brothers later.
All right, brother. What I want to add to this conversation.
Excuse me. Was that Mr. Ellipticism that left?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Too bad. I was trying to ask him a question, but y'all don't stop.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Can I just wanted to say this real fast. When we're dealing with individuals as it relates to Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as it relates to that particular realm of organization and nation, when we're dealing with individuals, Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and as that relates to the realm of the UNIA, this is what we mean by taking what has been given to us. Now, everybody who's came before us on this phone, we can all agree to some aspect of those leaders, some aspects of what they formulated with individuals to formulate those organizations that were founded. Each of us can agree to some aspect. Not every aspect, some aspect, and more so some than others. Now, the thing about being an analyst, to scientifically critique what has been given to us, that means you look at all aspects from the foundations of what was given through on down, and you take what was positive, you look at what was negative and see how you could, you know, twist the negative into the positive and then expand on what it was that they brought. Now, as the brother stated before he got off the phone about what the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey brought, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought, they were able to manifest it. We have not manifested it yet. We don't have that. We got pop-up black-owned stores, and as Brother Rob knows, what we say in Chicago, you know, we have a cliche here in Chicago that there's a difference between a black-owned business and a business owned by blacks. You know, we throw it around. We say that's a totally two different things, you know. And so our thing is, again, because how do, for example, I had a conversation with the supreme captain of the Nation of Islam, Mustafa Farrakhan, and he's over the entire FOI. And I had a conversation with him. I said, with all that the FOI teach as this relates to the military aspect now. Now, right. Nation of Islam
has their military piece. The New Black Panther Party has their military piece. Other organizations have their military piece. He's the supreme captain of the FOI. So-and-so is the general of that organization. This other person is the minister of defense of that organization. Now, how do we come together to bring about something that they all agree on? For example, Nation of Islam have what's called general orders.
Right.
Those general orders, the Army also have them. Most of our people serve in the Army, whether it was just to get a scholarship or get some extra money to help them out through education or whatever the case may be. Most know them general orders. Nation of Islam had them general orders. Now, when the shit hit the fan and we out here on the field in a battle, what line of communication will the Nation of Islam, the New Black Panther Party, this organization over here, and this organization over there, who's supposed to be the vanguard of defense for our people, on what line of communication will they all be synonymous on to deal with each other?
That's a good question.
You see what I'm saying?
And that's
the question. This is where we come from on those particular realms, because we say, for as much that we have out here, on what level of communication do we build with each other that we all agree on? If I sit and I put the literature of that organization in front of me, the literature of that organization in front of me, and we all sit back and say, sure, indeed, all of us on this phone, no doubt, are for nation build. We want to see our own nation rise.
Yes.
But the one thing we don't negate is that we've been given examples of that already. So we take the examples of what was given, whether it's from, again, the UNIA, the NOI, or the original Black Panther Party, or with Huey P. Newton and all them. We take all of these references, what was given to us. Study what they have given us. Study what was manifested by them, because all of them manifested something, each and every last one of them. But they were took down militarily, whether you want to say militarily through COINTELPRO or militarily even physically through the assassination.
Yeah, you're right, brother.
That we could take from each and every one. And when I say organization, I don't mean sit that organization, because, hell, like the brother said, which is true, they will promote their own damn thing. You know, some people don't believe Master Farah Muhammad is Allah. Some people don't believe, you know, whatever it is.
Can I ask a question now?
And all of that. Oh, yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. So I'm going to just go ahead and finish this five-second point.
How does Coach, well, first, I want to know, do you see the people of today, the adults of today, the elders of today, or do you see the youth of today kicking off this nation-building thing? And how does the culture that's going on today, how does that fit into what you're saying? Because I see that the culture of today is disruptive to the youth, and I don't see how we could build anything with a disruptive youth that's going to tear it down before it even get a foundation.
You're right, sister. Right. And these men,
you have a split half and half. I don't know if this is directed that question to me or to anybody.
No, I'll say something to that as well, you know, sister.
The last guy that was talking.
Yeah, that was to me.
Actually, I wanted to ask Mr. Holipsism, but y'all kind of answered that question as far as how religion fits into this, because all of those organizations getting together. I'm not pessimistic about it, but the religious aspect of it. Can I talk? Do you mind? I listened for a long time. Do you mind if I get my thought out?
Go ahead.
The religious aspect, is how I see it, is always going to come. It's going to stop everything. Once there are religious ideologies, I don't see how they're going to make laws without religion, and once that religion kicks in, it's going to tear everything down.
So I got an answer for that. It's simple. See, what I've been talking about for the last 5 years, you know, on Blog Talk Radio and such, is the fact that when you start talking about nationhood, right, and real nationhood, I'm not talking about everybody getting together and pumping their fists and wearing dashikis and kufis. That's not what I'm talking about nationhood. Nor am I talking about people wearing afros and doing a bunch of ungawas and all that stuff. That's not nationhood, what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about nationhood. People saying Hotep and Osawan. That's not nationhood. What I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that we look at our history. Look at our history total. You have to ask yourself this one question. One question. Was it right for them to bring us to this country? Right?
No.
And then look at the future, look at the past, and look at where we're going, currency to Black America, and look at the future. Now, if you don't know that, the past, the present, and the future, then you look at, if you don't know what's going to go on in the future, then you say to yourself, are we better off if we went alone and just built our own things, or we just stay here to do what we're doing? If you choose to stay here and do what you're doing, right, then you get locked down into this religion and this religion. Now, why? It's simple. This is very, very important. It's because, like Marcus Garvey once said, the Black people in America, the reason why we have all these things, we keep failing and all stuff, is because just like during slavery, it all goes back to infrastructure. The infrastructure and the context that we live in is controlled by somebody else, right? Like, let me give you an example. In a bash screen today in Washington, D.C., okay? A lot of Black people are like, oh, yeah, well, you don't see a lot of Black people concerned about it. Why? Because we automatically expect that somebody, a white man, is going to make sure that we don't get shot. We know that there's laws in place, and we take our chances every day when we get on the train, and that train's going to get from point A to point B because it had regular inspections. We go on an airplane, right? If you watch the movie Flight, I watched the movie Flight yesterday, and you expect that there's a system in place to make sure that plane gets regular maintenance and everything.
Uh-huh.
We do all these things. Why? Because another race of people provides for us. So, therefore, Black people in America, life organizations cannot be considered serious because the context of what they live in is reliant on somebody else. How can you call somebody a devil and you basically live in and dependent on that same devil for your bread, your food, your safety, your travel, your transport, your education, everything?
Let me say something. That's why I asked the question about the youth, because these most Black people depend on, I'll say they're enemy. I don't really call white people the devil and all of that, but and when it comes to white people in government, it's always against Black people. Black people still depend on these people to educate their children.
Education is building an allegiance to them. Hold on, we only got one sister here, so please let the sister speak. Please don't speak over the sister. She was asking a question pertaining to the youth. I didn't get a chance to hear. She asked everyone. Oh, I thought she said she was asking the brother who last spoke.
Well, I was asking the guy that was talking because he was leading up to what I was saying about, do you see the youth kicking this off, or do you see the elders or, you know, our generation kicking it off? Because that when it comes to the youth are guided by the culture of today, and it's really destructive, especially when it comes to Black people and Black women, and the feminization of Black men is really destructive to us, and we have a youth that's being educated by the same people that's holding us back, and this education that they're given is building up an allegiance to them.
Does that mean that's the last person that spoke that you were talking about? Right, she was looking to receive an answer from myself. I would say, sister, to answer your question,
I would say that honestly, I think you will have a half and half response from the youth. And I say that because myself and the comrades, sisters and brothers, when I say comrades, we've been to high schools, we've been to grammar schools, and we've actually got student associations on college campuses here in Chicago. And, yes, you do have that youth who are psychologically driven by the oppressive machinery, by oppressive psychology, by that type of groundings and that type of foundation to really help to suffer and oppress their own people. You have that, and that they listen to the Lil Wayne's, they got it by the Wayne, they got it by the Nicki Minaj, they imitate this, they imitate that. All that has no benefit and value to the people. However, you do have that segment of the youth who are conscious-minded, and I mean there's plenty here, who are conscious minded, who do attend these very same meetings, but who would also say, and they would honestly say, that as much as they are being taught, that as much as they are learning, the one thing that they seek that myself and the brother spoke upon before he left out, and the brother who I believe is still on the phone, I forget the brother's name, is structure.
Right.
They're willing to sit back. I've talked to many young sisters, many young brothers who sit back and say that they study Malcolm. They study the works of Marcus Garvey. They study Dr. Huey P. Newton, Khalid Muhammad. There's a lot of them who it's more followers of Khalid Muhammad. They know so much about Brother Dr. General Khalid Muhammad that it's like, man. But the one thing that
they're not getting from the right wall. They're not getting the teaching from the right wall, brother.
Let me finish answering the sister's question. The youth is missing structure. They want what they call and what we call a body politic. Where can they fit in? You see? And so now, as the sister said, what place does the youth play? What place would the elders play? You have many elders who would be sincere, and they would say, you know, you young brothers coming up. And I've had this said to me myself by Brother Geronimo Jijaka Pratt before he transcended. The brother told myself and another brother, he said, the one thing about the brothers, the young generation today, your generation today, he said, you all have something that we did not have then. And we said, well, what is that, brother? He said, y'all have a blueprint. He said,
right.
We didn't have a blueprint. We worked as it came. He said, you all could study what came and work as it comes. You see? And so now that we have a blueprint, we can study a counterintelligence program. We can study what COINTELPRO did to our people. We can study the...
But when you got that blueprint, when you noticed that, you were a youth. And now you're not. The youth is different now. So with all of that, we did nothing. So how do we expect them to do more than what we did? And we did nothing.
I can give you a more simple way of dealing with it. And this is the problem. Most of us men, right, maybe because I do self-defense, you understand, you know, like I box. So maybe I don't really have, I thought it's as simple as this. You know, we as elders men, if we could all keep together, group together, you know, as men, because we don't like what's going on in our community, we should just go, give these kids some warnings. If they don't want to listen, you know, then we give them a whooping. You understand? Bottom line, we've got to put them in, get their respect, simple, because the only way you're going to get their respect is by making them feel pain, same way the only people they respect on the street
the same way
is
the slave
older,
master
the OG.
Did the slave.
They respect the OGs.
I don't agree with that at all.
They respect the OGs because the OGs will put a cap in their arse. You understand?
No, that ain't all it is, bro. Let me tell you something we did on the street, sister. Let me tell you what the young people respect. The young people don't just the people. Yes, young people respect the face of another man coming. That's easy, especially if you don't have no father. That's something that our dear brother Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson can get into on a psychological tip. But you know what young people really want out of this whole thing? Substance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. They want substance. You know, it ain't about go out here and we just need to, maybe if we just whoop their ass, they can listen and such and such. No, because half of them will whoop your ass, you know.
They don't deal with belts these days. They deal with guns.
Hey,
here's the one simple thing that we did. I'm going to just quote this one simple thing that we did on the street. One simple thing. We put together, and this was off the example of the original Black Panther Party. We put together, we said, man, that was a good idea what the party did. They created what was called a pocket lawyer. one simple thing, piece of paper with the rule or the laws pertaining to how to deal with the police if the police were to pull you over, harass you, you know, how to deal with them going through your car and trying to search you and all this type of stuff. Now, this is on paper what we did in the city of Chicago. Passed these thousands of papers out. We kept the original name, Pocket Lawyers, Pocket Lawyers. Do you know how many brothers and sisters appreciated that? Because it wasn't just something that they could put in their hand, look at, and throw it on the ground. It was something they could put in their hand, carry with them every single day because it was substance. Why was it substance? Because it was relevant to the realities of their suffering every day. So that when when the cop pulled them over,
That's all talk, brother. Because I was young.
Stop. Hold on a minute. I want to go ahead and say something because before it gets too far. Okay, because I want to address that because I've been sitting back just listening. Had to run a little errand, but I kept listening. But I want to go ahead and address something real fast. You know, the term the devil that poverty used, you know, actually, I agree with it. You got, because they teach their kids that we evil. And we can't go ahead and deny that. So you got to go ahead and show who these people are, what they, and also at the same time, don't just go call them evil. You got to go ahead and present a case to go ahead and show that they're evil, and right. That's another reason why history is very important to go ahead and show what they've done, past and present, and what they intend to do in the future. What they've done past and present, we can identify with
the trademark.
Exactly. You know, you go ahead, but you got to look at what they're doing present, and then add it all up. And this is not some kind of people that we can go ahead and really, really be friendly with, and we can't go ahead and deny that these are some evil motherfuckers because real people ain't supposed to do that. They ain't going ahead. These people are running around this planet going ahead. They got their media apparatus to paint us as evil. And just like with this brother who shot up this place in Washington, D.C., I bet you they're going to go ahead and paint him as that one of the worst individuals out here. But when the real story come out, you can go ahead and find out just like all them other brothers. They go ahead, like the other brother who shot up the train and his other brother who went to his job, I think it was in Rhode Island or Connecticut, when them shot up his job. When you go ahead and find out how fucked up they was treating him, you're going to say, damn, he had a point. So we got to go ahead and realize that these people are devils, goddammit. And we wouldn't be talking about this shit if they were not devils.
Right.
Let's put it into our perspective.
That's the same thing they did with Trayvon Martin, Rob. They said, well, all black boys are thugs. And if he wasn't a thug now, he's going to be a thug later, so we need to kill him. That's the same ideology.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point. And see, here in Chicago, we got kids, we got young people dying, people, dying daily. And you scared to travel on the fucking weekend here because so many people getting shot up. You know, and it's messed up. But we got to go ahead and realize you got to realize several things here. The guns, we ain't manufacturing the guns. The drugs ain't coming into our community, and I can't stand when somebody tell me, you know, ain't nobody telling them to sell drugs. Hey, look, you're going to do whatever the fuck it takes to survive. Don't tell me that you ain't going to do that. It's either do this or do that.
You see, sister, what you got to understand, a lot of these men now, right, these grown-ass men, I'm going to be remorseless, they don't keep fit. They don't do no sort of training, nothing. They're just weak-ass mentally men. If a youth comes, messes with my car, or, you know, smashes my window indiscriminately, or does something to my child or my wife, and my wife comes and tells me, I'm going to beat his brains out. If he wants to go and get his gun, you better
find him. Let me get something real quick.
Bottom line.
Because hold on, Pop.
A lot of times the whole whooping thing don't work.
How young is this? I respected the OG. You know why I respected the OG?
Hold on a minute. The whole whooping thing don't work a lot of times. You got to look at your own self. It didn't work a lot of damn times. Because you go ahead, for me growing up, getting that ass whooping and telling me you love me was a confusing ass fucking thing. Okay.
And that's why there's so many women that's trapped in damn abusive relationships and so many men that can't stop beating on women because of that, I beat your ass because I love you. And people don't see that. Everybody can't make that distinction that you hit me because you love me and let that be in childhood. some women think that. They really think that this man beat them because he loved them. And some men, they actually think that. If they don't beat that woman, that means that he don't love her.
I'm talking about this community spirit has worked in a place in the UK, Bristol. It worked in Bristol where the youths were going out of control and the men, the adults, they just got together and started grouping up and catching the main ones and whooping their ass.
Then what do you do at the end of the day? And then after you whoop that ass, then what do you do? So then when you go ahead and you disperse and they're not around you, then go ahead and do the same old shit. Tearing up stuff.
Let me finish.
Hold on. Here's the thing. The ass whooping, a lot of times I'm for it. That's the way I feel. But you got to go ahead and use your mindset to go ahead and have him not do something, do that shit. But you got to have something else to go ahead and put into his place so they ain't thinking about fucking up shit.
That's where we need that infrastructure.
You need to have that. The shit put together so you have something else to occupy that mind. So we can go ahead and build these doctors, these engineers, these accountants. So we can build these individuals, these chefs. So we can build these people to go ahead and
support. The reality is, most people say, well, I got whooped and I turned out fine.
Wow.
But they got whooped more than once. If whooping worked, you wouldn't have to get whooped continuously throughout your childhood. You would only have to get one whooping in your life, and it will work forever.
But that's not even what got them in line. If I can camel back on Brother Rob.
Go ahead.
If I can camel back off you. It wasn't just the whoopings, because plenty of us say that, sister, you know, man, you know, my grandma used to tear my ass up. That's, you know, now, that's not what devastated us. Back in the day, we had law in the community. It was just certain shit that you did not do in the community, because you knew if you got caught over here, sister so-and-so was going to get you, and she's going to take it to your mama, let your mama know that she got you. Then your mama's going to get you, and you hope
and you
that you
bring shame to your family name. Don't leave that part out.
A
lot of people just don't have. Oh, yeah, that's sister. That's
no,
that's
you got people you celebrating their teenagers having babies. This is to be something shameful.
This is what I'm talking about, sister. We had things set in the community back then where it was just law in the community. It may not have been written law, but it was law nonetheless in the community that certain things you just did not do. Homosexuality,
it was called black love.
You could have been homosexual all day long, but guess what? You hid that the best way your ass could, because you knew if you went outside and they found out you was this, you was just going to get your ass whooped. You just gonna get beat. However the hell was gonna happen. Now it's acceptable. Why? Because here comes the government saying, well, we're gonna enforce a new law. We're gonna take away the laws that you have in the community amongst yourselves, and we're gonna enforce our law. And our law is, if you put your hands on your child, we're gonna arrest you. If you do this, we're gonna take your children away and send them to DCFS. So every elder that we've talked to here in Chicago and most elders elsewhere, a lot of people point to, and some elders don't even give a damn. I don't care what they do. They can arrest me all day long, but before they get here to arrest me, because my grandmother used to say that, you can call them all day long because I'm going to beat your ass for calling them, and then when they get here, I'm going to beat their ass. Then they can take me.
How many times did you hear that?
I heard that plenty of times directed to family.
That proves my point, that whoopings don't work.
Now,
whoopings don't work. If whoopings work,
right, because
you get your butt whooped one time.
Law, but that's my whole point.
Hello?
We are missing law. So when the oppressor, when the government comes on us, the government institute laws. These laws, quote-unquote laws, their laws, dictate our movement, whether it's laws through the media, whether it's laws through entertainment, whether it's policies through this. They have laws, they have policies, and those laws and policies dictate what happens to us. What we don't have is laws and policies that we govern ourselves by. Now, the brother said we don't need laws, we need codes of conduct. Well, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Whether you have codes of conduct, you still have to have something by way of which is governing your nation or your way. I have to govern myself accordingly if I'm interacting with my brother. You know, if I'm out of line of that governance, then, you know, something is
so that means you're going to have to get your own prisons and stuff like that. I'm talking about the hard line is just like you get a beating from the community. You understand? But, man, you see, like, some of these youth, hear what I'm saying now. I hear crimes in Chicago, and I'm dealing with these things where you got these youths. I see a 17-year-old was changing his child's diaper. Because he was in the street shit, right, he had some Negroes just come by and spray the place, hit him, and his child died. Hit him and it hit the bullet, a bullet hit his child, right, and his child's dead. Now, I know that there's people in that community that know who he's got beef with. Yeah, they don't want to tell the police, but they're just going to sit by and let these Negroes run up and down free. I'm saying if we as a community, we do police our own things, we'll find out and go and deal with the matter. These youth need to be killed.
Wait a minute, let me ask you a question, my brother. You mentioned Chicago, but I hear you have a non-American accent. And I know Rob is from Chicago, so he can correct me if I'm wrong on this. Julia Prison is in Illinois, right?
Juliet, yeah.
And that's one of the toughest prisons in this country, right?
Yeah, kind of.
It's the thought of them children or them youth that's committing these crimes, if the thought of Juliet Prison don't scare them, what makes you think the thought of an elder whooping their butts on guns scare them?
Let me tell you why, sister. Let me tell you why.
They're killing each other. They're going to kill the elders,
right?
Too.
But, sister, you know that in the jails in America, they're mostly gangs. So when they go into those prisons, as hard as they are, they're going to go and train with some of their crew members. Most of the crime in Chicago is done by gangs. It's gangs. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So when they go to jail, there ain't nothing to scare them. It's the same thing in the UK. You know, it's hard jails, but at the end of the day, if I'm from Brixton, I'm going to go to jail and see a whole load of the Negroes that are from Brixton, and we're going to all pack together. That's how it is. That's how jail is. It's always gangs and groups. That's how jail is.
Hey,
Hold on.
Mr. Holison, are you
have
back?
You have to go to jail to understand that.
Okay, hold on. Well,
maybe
646.
Yeah, I don't know how female jail goes. I know I'm
okay, hold on a minute. Hey, it's Sister Jackie. Hey, Mr. Holison is back. Do you still have a question for him?
I think he kind of was going down the line of where my question for him was leading, because when he was talking about, you know, he was talking about building infrastructure and getting the different groups together, and like I said, I'm not being pessimistic about it. I just see that the religious ideologies will basically put a stop to it. I just see it only as going so far, because once that religion kick in, it's going to be big disagreements.
See, one thing about the whole religion thing is that a lot of that's like, black churches are backed up by whites. And there's no
denying. Wait, what was the question? I didn't hear what the question was.
No, you were talking about the infrastructure, and they started bringing it to you when you were talking. I was just wondering how you seen religion fitting into the people, those different groups getting together and building something, because I just don't see them coming together but so far, because I see their religious ideologies don't separate them.
Well, actually, they are together. If you look at this society right now, they are together. It's just they're not together religiously, but they're together in terms of maintaining and sustaining this infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of them pay rent, all of them pay for utilities, all of them get on the roads and highways, all of them pay tolls, all of them provide and maintain all the elements of this hard infrastructure. See, this conversation is actually a microcosm of what I'm talking about, because we started talking about hard infrastructure and then we went backwards. Now we're talking about social issues. See, it's the best thing that I can do is compare it to if you're a tenant versus being a landlord. If you're a tenant and you're in an apartment building, You're only concerned about what's going on in your apartment. You don't even care about the plumbing, the electricity, the sanitation, and the maintenance of the building, because those that has nothing to do with you. That's the owner's problem. See, we think like tenants now. If we start thinking like owners, well, we're actually controlling the building and controlling the infrastructure, then it expands our realm of responsibility. So to get back to the youth, it's kind of hard to do that in a situation where the youth are in a context that their people are not in control.
But brother,
so what are you expecting
to
do?
Brother, let me say something.
No,
to
but
you.
But first,
brother,
before you say anything, am I on the right? Am I making a wrong statement with what
you're
I just
you're
said?
You're absolutely right.
I made the point.
I made the point earlier.
I made the point earlier.
I said I made the point earlier when you got off. I said, look, the main thing is this. Is that we live, the context of what we live in, we don't control. And I said about the shooting in D.C. and whatever goes on in America and everything. The stock market collapses on the black people don't worry about that. Why? Because we understand that, like a very few conversations on Blog Talk Radio was talking about the stock market and the financial crash. Why? Because most black people don't feel like they got a stake in any of that, you know? So in other words,
right.
Basically, but we do understand when we can't get a job, like, well, it must be out of economy, I keep hearing about. You understand? So the context of where we live in is not controlled by us. So Marcus Garvey once said this. He said, look, the reason why black organizations have no chance in America, the reason why they're so vulnerable ain't because of COINTELPRO. It's not. And Marcus Garvey predicted something like COINTELPRO for 40 years before it even happened. He says, you put black people in a situation, right? The same ones that join organizations will steal from the organizations, embezzle, mislead people, everything. Why? Because there's no accountability. Like Holden said about the landlord and the tenant. When you're a tenant, you have no accountability to the building because all you know is you just got a place to live. Same thing with black people, our situation in America. We can't do nothing about our situation because we're not the one in control. When white people, Rob played that clip on Martin Luther King, and we said the land grants and all that stuff like that for the European peasants, that's when you have a government that says, look, I need to generate revenue and produce wealth and everything through agriculture. European peasants said, I need a new home, a new place to stay, a new starting life. It was a win-win situation.
I'm glad you brought that up because I really wanted to play that again because it feeds in just about every one of my shows. Here, check this out.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Greetings. Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. Every time I play that clip, this is why I come at the so-called black leaders today. That clip right there and all them bastards who went to Washington for that 50th anniversary of the March on Washington ain't saying shit that this brother just said. Nothing. Near that. And I'm going to say it again. Not even his damn kids are saying nothing. They profiting off the pain of black folks as we fucking speak. So if they ain't fucking talking that shit, if they not going here repeating what this brother is saying, if we ain't got no business listening to them, it's time to turn your backs on them and concentrate on that circle from within and work our way out. Because we ain't going to get out of this fucking situation unless we do exactly what he was talking about, dealing with that land. And we ain't going to be able to go to Washington and tell them we want to get our check until we build a fucking economic, build a sound economic base. Because you ain't going to go ahead and get no political clout unless you got money.
And I'm going to add on to that.
I disagree, kind of.
Hold on. Go ahead, sister. How you disagree with that?
Well, just that last part where you said unless we got money. I think we focus too much on money. We need to be focusing on some skills.
I think you missed my
skills.
Point. Wait. I think you missed my point. Go ahead and build, getting that firm infrastructure together. You're going to get your skills because you can't be no dummy being on the farm. You're going to have to learn how to go ahead, plant the crops, fix the machinery, go ahead and do everything necessary to keep that farm going so your skills build up.
Well, we got to stop sending our youth, our children, to these to government institutions, especially in the early years, to be schooled.
I agree with that, but you cannot.
Let me
show you something. You can ask some of these white cats who ain't never been to college, and they tell you that I grew up on a farm, and I bet you can put together your house. They can go ahead and fix almost every engine in the neighborhood. They can do almost everything mechanically to go ahead and make them a buck. And when you go ahead and look at some of these buildings, even government jobs, they just taking over maintenance and engineering, and they're making damn good money. So people do not realize that, hey, look, you're not going to go ahead and get no political clout unless you got money. And they can go ahead and sit back and go ahead and tell people what they fucking want and get what they want. Because they're making that money. They sending that money out. They're going ahead and send them to their kids. They wind up sending their kids to the best colleges, and them kids wind up going ahead and being some of the best attorneys and accountants of the realm. I was out selling insurance myself, and I saw this for myself. I saw this guy. He said, I never finished high school. But his kids are living on this farm, and this cat was bringing in over $200,000 a year. And they could go ahead and fix any goddamn...
Somebody on the line was just saying that they had plumbing skills and electrical skills and I just don't see that in the youth and a lot of people my age. I meet so many grown men today that don't know how to change their own oil. You drive a car but you can't change your oil. Half of them don't know how to change a tire. I can do a tune-up and I'm a woman.
With great power comes great responsibility. If we don't have an infrastructure and a context that we control, then all of these issues we're talking about is like throwing little sheets of toilet paper in a pool full of shit.
Yeah.
It means nothing. We have to control our context, and that's where all of the – you talk about real trickle-down? That's where the trickle-down begins. Control your context, and all of these social issues that we're so concerned about now is going to be gone.
Go away.
That's my whole point because I personally disagree. Yes, we need economics. However, to be dependent on this economy. Now, we could be dependent if somebody wants to say we are dependent on it. Yes, because we don't have our own currency. It ain't one person on this phone that's not helping this government to stay afloat because each and every one of us got a dollar or two in our pocket. At the end of the day, as the brother stated about the context, infrastructure. Now, the brother says, unless you got the money, you don't have the political clout. I don't know what level of political clout he's talking about, but Dr. Khalid Muhammad didn't have political clout. Brother Malcolm X didn't have political clout. Marcus Garvey didn't have political clout as far as the politicians as it relates to, if that's the politicians they talk about. The threat that came from Marcus Garvey, the threat that came from Elijah Muhammad, the threat that came from Huey P. Newton, the threat that came from Dr. Khalid Muhammad, and all these that we've had wasn't an economic threat. The threat that came was the idea of the structural body that could be formulated off of these particular visions. That was the threat. They didn't have an economic threat. They didn't threaten because we didn't have no goddamn economics. That wasn't the threat. The threat was the idea behind us being able to be galvanized as a man. J. Edgar Hoover didn't say in that counterintelligence program when he listed those five destructions of the black nationals, and when he said to paraphrasing, when he said not to let a black messiah rise who could galvanize the masses of black people, he didn't put in there by economy or by economics or through financial means. He knew first and foremost that particular messiah, using his words, and that just means any realm of us who could galvanize us on a particular level would be considered a threat. Any type of galvanization would be considered a threat. Now, the brother mentioned, as it relates to the economy, now, I always said this. If the government woke up tomorrow and went breaking news, the U.S. government has declared that they're officially withdrawing their currency. For everything that we have in these banks, Bank of America, Chase One, Chase First, Fifth Third, and all these other banks that's out here, for everything that you have in the bank, we will send you a receipt and get back to you on what we will give you in collateral, so on. But as of today, the U.S. currency will be dropping down, and we will officially no longer be going by the Federal Reserve notes. We will such. What the hell would we do?
Well, see, let me address that.
We need to focus on skills. If you got a skill, you can barter your skill for whatever you need. And we don't have no skills.
And that's,
I think we concentrate too much on money and not enough on skills. Because like you said, if the dollar fails today, most of us are wage slaves. We sell our labor. We don't sell our skills.
And that's why I think when the brother could correct me when he's talking about infrastructure or when he's talking about building that part of that structure, that component structure, that contact. Because I've often said to people who talk about the economy, when they sit at the table and they say, we need an economy, my question is always, do you have a plan B in the event that they choose to dismantle their current currency? Do you have a plan B? Or do we have anything
off of
minerals that we can sit and barter?
The sister already stated it. We need skills, bottom line.
Okay, hold on. I'm addressing. Wait a minute. Hold it. Let me back up to go ahead and help and deal with so my brother understand what I mean. Right now, dealing with that I'm gonna deal with the political clout and the financial clout. Okay, so right now, blacks can contribute damn near $1 trillion to this fucking economy, and they ain't getting shit from it. If you took that money and put it towards yourselves, and you go ahead and you build up your finances, build up your shit, get your farms and create your own industries, they're going to listen to you. And you'd have a bigger voice around the planet. Politics, I'm dealing with politics with the legislatures. I understand what you mentioned about them brothers. They had political clout amongst themselves, amongst black folks. I get that. But we don't have that political representation as far as these legislatures are concerned. Because if you did, we still wouldn't have as many problems. You understand what I'm saying now?
I understand from that realm that you're coming from. At the same time, and this is just my personal opinion, with as much as we spend in this country, if we did that, and we always say, man, black people should, you know, if for every 300 million that's spent every weekend going into the church, that could be spent going into such and such. We talk about that all the time. But let's just say, hypothetically, that happened. What you and I always talk about on that end, that we start refurbishing that throughout our own communities. I often say, that's when the euro will kick in. That's when they'll sit back and say, okay, the hell with this. We got to hurry up and change this because the niggas obviously caught on and we're not about to have another goddamn Black Wall Street on an expanded level, more so than what they were doing back then. Let's change this shit up. Because that's their way of thinking, to change it up. So, again,
how they change the culture. We got a youth now that don't even listen to the adults.
Because I agree totally what you said on that aspect, Brother Rob, but at the same time, understand, you're still working with the thought, you're still working with their currency with the thought of a particular success.
I'm not. I'm with you on that. Create to go ahead and have something to go ahead and sustain our own paper, to back our own paper. I'm with you on that. But you have to go back to what the sister said. We got to start it, getting it, creating them skills. The sisters, exactly. Hey, we don't have them skills. Wait a minute, we don't have those skills. So let's go ahead and build them skills, then go ahead and play within this system to build our own, because we can't jump over that. But you still, at the same time, you can design your own shit. But we don't have that mineral or something to back that dollar. The dollar used to be backed by gold. We don't know what the fuck is backed by right now. But it used to be backed with
bonds. Used to be back then, it was called the silver certificate. And it was backed by the equivalency of what it was then was backed in silver. And they took it from a silver certificate to the note in which it is now.
And the notes are now backed by bonds. That's what pumped our economy a little bit. They were saying about a month or two in the news that there's a lot of billionaires that are looking to place their money in place, and they just start buying up American bonds.
Man, this is a fiat currency designed in Rome, this sort of currency that we're dealing with right now. You know, it's backed by nothing, bottom line. Ain't got no value to nothing.
I keep trying to play this one clip I got of the goldsmith, and it'll blow your mind on how the banking system is a whole big-ass goddamn joke, one big fucking lie.
Yeah. They just got to cut more trees. The only way this money will stop is if they run out of trees.
That's why we do what the sister said. We have to get into bartering. I mean, and then that was the idea. That was the idea of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. That was even the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Hell, he had cats in Japan.
Listen, this is the thing.
This
is the thing.
What are we doing?
This is the thing, brother. What Elijah Muhammad was dealing with was absolutely.
We don't even make our own damn clothes.
Exactly. You don't make your own drawers at all.
I was just about to say, the damn drawers you got on ain't even yours.
and it's funny to me how black people are always talking about this pro-conscious black people always talking about how much money the Asians make off of hair, but you're not looking at how much the Asians make off of selling chicken. You ain't got no connection in Asia to get no hair, but you know how to cook some chicken. Why is Asian people in your community selling chicken? You looking at hair might make them money, but it make the black people money too. Because that girl go buy some hair, she look nice, she get paid more. She pay another black person to put the hair in for her. What you getting out of the lotto? Look how many black people spend money on the lotto. You get nothing out of the lotto, but you send a whole bunch of white kids to college and to pre-K with your lotto money.
Brother Rob used to bring up agriculture, and still to this day, Brother Rob bring up agriculture as well as many of us. And remember the long conversation we had, Brother Rob, a while back when we said, you know, if we could take every vacant lot that's within the realms of the community, at the end of that block, there was a community garden. But within the community, each household was responsible for a certain food. For example, Miss Smith grew potatoes or whatever. So-and-so grew some lettuce. So-and-so grew this. So-and-such grew that. Now, we could start
I was working on that plan, and it was coming to fruition. It was getting there on the west side, right? And then one day they popped up, and I didn't have enough weapons to shoot back. But let me go ahead and let me help the sister out real quick, because black folks can go ahead and do the chicken. But here's the biggest problem I see when blacks open their restaurants. They don't try to get their materials at the cheapest level. They're just thinking about making money. So they're going straight to these wholesalers instead of going ahead and getting their own farm or going ahead and trying to deal with a farmer, because they're going up going to the local grocery store to sell their stuff in the store. Then you can't go ahead and do that when you go ahead. You can't sell your stuff like that when you go ahead and do that cost analysis. When you got to go ahead and pretty much, if you can sell your product at like, you know, let's say for every dollar you spend, you can go ahead and at least put 60 cents in your pocket. You're making money. But these people are not going ahead doing that. For every dollar that they fucking go ahead and they spend, they go ahead and wind up going ahead for every 70 cents. They put about, what I'm saying is they putting about 30 cents to 25 cents in their pocket for every dollar they spend. And they're not trying to go ahead and look and try to get the cheapest, the raw materials to go ahead and to make a buck. Because you can't make no money like this. And that's what
but
a lot
most
of people,
white, most
I try to
businesses.
Go ahead and show them, I try to go ahead and show some people how to go ahead and do this, and I even got a list of farms that's a little bit further west than where I live, and then it's like a few of them don't even want to hear that. They want to go ahead and keep on doing what they're doing, or feel that, hey, I'm trying to go ahead and steal something from them. They don't trust me.
But they freely give their money up to the white wholesalers.
Yes.
Obviously.
How are you keeping money in the black community but supporting a black business when he goes to every white wholesaler for just about everything he needs?
And here's something else. And some of these individuals that I know that got a few chains, that Robinson Cat and the other cats, I've seen a few people have these fish stores, they can't wait to go ahead and move into the white neighborhood. And their kids can go ahead. A few of these cats, I know a few of them. I know a few of their kids, man. They kids ain't nothing but some old crackheads and out here kicking it and throwing away the money.
That's why I'm not mad at the hair industry, because black women go and they will spend money on hair, but at the end of the day, it ain't no white woman that's throwing that hair in her head. That's another black woman that's doing it. Sometimes a black man.
They're just as bad as a goddamn drug dealer.
Now, look on your trust factor, Brother Rob. Now, you know here in Chicago, we got many brothers who have herbs. And I mean herbs, whether medicinal, I don't mean weed, nothing like that. I'm talking about pure, healthy herbs for your body.
Yeah, Brother Cash, go ahead and introduce me to the sister, and we went out to Kankakee.
Yeah. Now, remember the brother? The brother has his own farm in I believe, a farm in Ghana or somewhere else, this brother got. And this brother grows the moringa leaves on his farm as well as the gravolia leaves, or what's known as salsa. And you got many brothers who come here and introduce that to the people. I myself introduced it to many people along with research documents, but...
Wait, you got to be careful with the what? I think it's moringa leaves. Is that the one to go ahead and take people off heroin?
No. That deals with killing the cancer cells. But we get into that detail.
Yeah, because one of them they deemed illegal. It was coming because mostly grown in the west coast of Africa. They deemed illegal. And you got caught up with that. They saying that you bringing heroin in the country. So go ahead, brother.
No, not that. I think you're talking about something else. I forget the pronunciation of that, what you're talking about. But
yeah.
For example, you will have...
Sour-sop, I know, because sour-sop can go ahead and stop you from going ahead and doing chemotherapy.
Exactly. Now, on your trust factor, you will have... Now, this is what's tripped out with our people. You can introduce to your people a cure for AIDS, a cure for venereal diseases, a cure for any goddamn thing, and it'd be a legitimate cure... That you give him.
Yeah, but brother. See, as long as you study herbs, you can fight.
Hold on, Poverty. Let him finish.
Let him finish talking. Now, you could introduce this to your brother or your sister. And again, your trust factor you mentioned. You can introduce that, but your introduction is not. It's not John Hopkins Medical Center. It's not Christ Hospital. It's not backed by an MD. It's not backed. And this, again, goes by the psychosis of us as a people and how we think that, man, whatever he bring it to me, he must be on a scam. Or, man, this brother must be on something, man. He must be trying to get my money. He really ain't trying to do something. But this is what we have to deal with. We dealing with the psychosis of a people who don't know no ingredients. You could reject what your brother could be giving you. That could be 100% guaranteed. Just say 100% gravolia leaves. Do your own research. Check it. Look at what it sees. They'll reject that. Reject the research on what you're giving them, but accept here's the new Tylenol Cold Deep Flu Plus. Don't know a damn thing about the ingredients in that, but it says Tylenol. It says Bayer. It says, you know, ibuprofen on it. And they'd accept that because psychologically we've been grown to accept everything from the oppressor, not knowing what the hell the ingredients are, but because it has a label on it, because it comes from Walgreens, because it comes from Rite Aid or wherever the hell else store it comes from, that's better than what the brother who has his herbal store has within there. Because we don't want to do the research on the brother, but then again, we don't do the research at the shit that we buy from the store. So why don't we trust? This, again, goes back to the trust factor. Why don't we trust our brother? Why don't we trust our sister?
Look who we schooled by.
Say it again, sister.
I said, look who we're schooled by.
Exactly.
Like I said, black people still continue to send their kids to white public schools. Not white as in those kids go there, but schools ran by curriculum set by the same people that's been keeping us down.
Exactly.
Let me cut everything short. Let me say something short, right? And this is short. This is what we should know at this time in 2013. That the white man is the devil. That the white man is the devil and then the black man is God. Bottom line. Because we've lost that foundation, you right? That's the reason why we're in the position that we're in. 500 years ago, we knew that the white man was the devil and the black man was God on this planet. Well, we were the original ones. But now we don't know that, and that's the reason why we're in the shits right now. The reason why Elijah Muhammad was so popular, you know, why his members went so far, why he went so far with his movement, is because every member knew that the white man was the devil and the black man was God. And even under the UNIA, Marcus Garvey, I speak to older folks who used to be a part of that, and they say that he used to say that the white man was the devil behind closed doors, and everyone knew that. Say what? You see what I'm trying to say? And because we don't know that, like you said, sister, all our pills and our problems are because we send them to the devil's school. Because this white man is a devil. But you see, we don't believe that. So we send our children to their schools and blame ourselves. Even though it's our fault in 2013, we got to deal with these house niggers as well. The devil comes in many colors now.
Okay, but whether you call him a devil, whether you don't call him a devil, call him by whatever name you want to call him, brother. The fact still remains. There's poverty. There's substandard houses. There's drugs. There's the crime rate amongst ourselves, along with, of course, that has a root in it. There is a root in it. But when I'm sitting in a forum with my brothers, when I'm talking structure with my brothers, when I'm talking, let's talk how to build this nation. Let's sit at the table and take a look at how you want to the type of institutions you're talking about. Like the sister said, we send them to the school. We got schools here where you got the Freedom Home Academy here, ran by Brother Marcus Klein. You got other private schools here. Why don't they come together?
We got one here ran by Baruti.
Why don't they come together to create a curriculum and help expand each other so we can get the children, and we help expand them so we can get our children up out of there? Because at the end of the day, whether I call him devil, whether I call him white man, whatever the hell I call him, I still have to deal with my suffering. I still have to deal with my people suffering. I still have to come back and say, okay, he's the devil. I understand he's the devil. I know he's the devil. But now what do I do to get him up out of there, my child up out of their school? Who do I help, you know? Who do I help to go and look at them? Like, again, and always use the Freedom Home. I always use Freedom Home Academy with the brother here, Marcus Klein, because he's doing a tremendous job with the children here, doing a tremendous job with the children. So when we had the forums here, the conferences here on education, and somebody say, oh, man, we need to create a curriculum. No, we don't. We got many curriculums out here individually within these private schools that's working for our people. There's no such thing as starting at ground zero, creating some shit that's already in existence. All we need to do is recognize what we have already and help expand what they have.
Hey,
and then we can grasp our children.
Hold on, could you kill that cricket? I've been hearing them too damn long.
I think that's a bunch of crickets.
I live on a lake. I'm gonna say this before I get off. Let me say something. White people and white men are not losing any sleep by what you think of them and call them devil. Now, we've been doing that for how many years?
Exactly.
We're still in the same situation we're in right now?
Thank you.
I mean, so going on with this white man, we know the white man. I mean, that's the most idiotic, bubblegum brain thing I could ever think of.
Brother.
If you're having a real conversation.
How long have we been calling them?
Hold on. Go ahead. Let Caleb finish.
All that stuff is irrelevant to what we're going through right now.
Exactly.
You know, you keep going with the white man that way. I mean, the white man is not thinking about you. He's not thinking about me. All they know is they're carving up the wall and just knowing what they do. The problem is the black men don't know who we are. The black people spend so much time trying to deny who they are. Everybody's a Moor. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a Muslim. Everybody's a Buddhist. Everybody's a Nawafian. You know, the bottom line is the bottom of the white man looks at us like, man, y'all a bunch of confused, bunch of fools.
They're confused,
niggas.
You're around too many white people. That's what it is.
You got white men on the brain disease. You know, the people I've been with, the only time I hear about the white man is when I come on the show and listen to you. You know, we're talking about industries. We're talking about banks, we're talking about building communities, stuff like that. The only time I hear about the white man is when you bring them up.
Brother, you only hearing what you want to hear. You understand?
That's all you talk about, man. That's all you talk about. You got a discussion with them. Can we have a black show once in a while talk about our community? All you need to talk about is the white man.
Listen, I said he don't rule this.
He don't rule this. You know what we're saying?
One thing I have never heard my brother sit back and say is, okay, once this conversation is over, like me personally, I tell brothers all the time, including you brothers, when we get off when the show ends, I want to hook up with you brothers. I want to know what the brothers are doing and how can I help expand what you're doing and trickle that from your area to this area so that we can nation build. I don't have time to sit back, the white man's a devil. What substance do you have, brother, that could correlate to what that brother is talking about, to what I'm talking about, to what the sister's talking about, to help us build this nation? And like the brother said, don't spend so much time on the white man's the devil. If you knew who you was, it'd be no doubt on who the hell he is.
I'm all about defense. That's what I do. I deal with martial arts. You understand? That's what I do.
Come on, man. You're digging yourself a hole, poverty, man.
Hold on, man. Stop being a fool, man. The only reason why a lot of us, our elders, don't want to deal with the youth problem, because most of our problems are social. That's the reason why brother Rob can't get anyone to donate any money to his thing, because they think he's a hustler, because they're judging him just like the rest of the niggas in the community. I'm saying to you, if us men grew some balls and, you know, we've done some exercise, learn how to have some self-defense and grow. Because I'm telling you, if you know how to fight and you feel good in if you know how to fight and you're keeping fit every day, you're going to love yourself. And you're going to feel like no fool can just come and mess with you. Because you're going to give him your best fight. Do you know what I mean? You're going to leave with stuff. And I'm trying to say that. Everybody, man that I know who's in my, who trains with me, and men that I know who do stuff to Fed, or men who are in the army, or men who are deal with military, they all agree with what we should do. But the thing is getting these lazy ass, grown ass niggas off their ass and try and start doing something, because they're the ones who holding us stronger niggas from actually taking, cleaning up the streets. I commend those Negroes, the Detroit 300. You need more of them, but you've got sisters who want to mess it up because they're taking money from their drug dealing our sons. That's the reason why they wanted to sue those Negroes and they got messed up. That's why a lot of these sisters, they like to protect the young thug. So, we can't put hands on him because these times the same sister's got her little son who's out there selling drugs and he's giving her money. She likes the little money that he's giving her. Bottom line, I know what that is, man. I know this thing. So this, you play games. You see what I'm trying to say? That's what I said. I deal with that. you know, I can bring a lot to you. I could teach you. Listen, I could teach a woman how to whip your ass in a month. If you sit on your ass and you're lazy, I guarantee I could teach a woman, a white
Wait,
woman.
What is the answer to every always violent?
That's what it's up. That's what it is, sister. That's the way it is.
Yes,
we have to put our
Okay, brother. Well, we need somebody to get their ass whooped, and we need children to get whooping with all you.
My brother, you don't realize that violence is how you got here. Well, where you at? Well, where we at? It was violent. Violence
sister, don't worry
trickery.
About it. Sister, don't worry about it. Like I just told them, when we need somebody to get their ass whooped, when we need children to be whipped, we go call the brother. We let him take care of that. Until then, we're gonna deal with infrastructure. Let those of us who are gonna deal with infrastructure deal with infrastructure. He can whip the children. We just leave it at
well,
that.
You ain't gonna be able to do nothing if you can't get them to sit down straight.
There's men out here that don't know how to install a smoke detector to save their family life. If he's talking about violence.
Listen, sister. You got to understand, this is a violent war. This is that's all these youth understand and respect. Just like when
poverty, I have to go. Like I said, that kick your ass because I love you. I disagree with that shit there.
I disagree
with that 100%.
When Muhammad was around, that's the way it was.
We have to go ahead, see, because part of that whole violence thing with us it being black folks, man, is like, you know, just like, that's how they got the controllers, and still, you know, in a lot of instances, it didn't work. It just confused the hell out of a lot of us. So it's kind of some mass confusion there.
You can't avoid it, bro.
All that honorable to a man who was having sex with his parishioners and having babies with them. How is that honorable? Y'all kill me with that.
Hmm.
If this was one of your daughters or sisters that this man impregnated and all of this, would you still call him honorable?
You're talking about Elijah Muhammad.
You put him with violence and you say he had these great ideas and he would whoop the people's ass and all of this, but look what else he did. You call him honorable. I don't see nothing honorable about violence.
He's on there.
Yeah, well, hold on. Let me say something real quick. Hey, Brother Kelly, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, you know, I want to bring those people from a comedic pipeline. You gave me the number to call that brother, but I had some issues there.
What's it called? Black Wall Street show tomorrow night at 9:00. Central time. I'm not sure. He didn't tell me what thing, but he has the Black Wall Street show premiere tomorrow night on Block Talk Radio.
You know what I want to try to do is at the same time I want to contact them and see how you know we can go ahead and I can maybe run my show at the same time or run mine right after and just go ahead and bleed into my show because I like what
like
I hear from them.
Black Wall Street show is very 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 serious. You know this is basically laying the economic foundation for black people in America and black people throughout the world. You know, so we have.
Let me ask you a question. Does Claude Anderson go ahead and deal with them?
Claude Anderson. All the top economists are coming involved with this. And like I said, with Claude Anderson, some of the people that have been Claude Anderson students are with us. And so basically, we're basically building an economic foundation by which we can build. Now, like I said, I don't want to raise people's expectations too high. And like I told John Sinclair and I had a two-hour conversation the other night, and he agreed, you know, look, you know, the Pan-African movement, what we're doing in Africa, will fit right in because we need to be in every last single African country. We need everything there is to do on this earth, whether it's mining, whether it's fishing, whether it's manufacturing, whatever it is on this earth, black people, in order for us to even to get balanced, we should be involved in it. We should not be buying cars if we don't build them, you know. So in other words,
money-making opportunity when a lot of you go through a lot of neighborhoods, black neighborhoods, and you see beat-up, abandoned cars. Okay, let's try to fix them up and change them around. And at the same time, dealing with the farming and agriculture thing, you don't need to just go ahead and throw a fossil.
Wait a minute, Rob, and Caleb. The reason why you see a bunch of broke-down cars is because these men don't have no skills to fix it.
Well, see, that's
nobody, should be driving a car unless they know how to work on a car.
Okay, sister, that's what I'm saying. Let's get them the skills to go ahead and fix the car. Let them go ahead and break it. Do what they can. It ain't gonna take much.
It's a comprehensive program. Devon and Johnson Clare and I talked about this, and what I want is a vertically integrated black community in America that we can duplicate and expand throughout the world. You know, like someone made the comment earlier, Ms. Sutter, who said, now somebody offered this land. Now, if we get this land offer in Africa, what are we going to do with it if we're not organized? You know, we're not organized. We already got land in Ghana that was given to us, 33,000 acres. It's been sitting there for 15 years. But we don't have anybody to organize and put skills and put business skills, everything.
Caleb, what I tell you before, I said, in order to go ahead and jump off over there, you need to go ahead and build a base over here.
I'm like this. We need to have that launching pad here.
It has to be some spot here to give you the skills to go over there, because going over there, that retarded nonsense is going to go ahead and put us back in the same boat.
Also, what we're doing is basically, is like I said, with the Onyx Stock Exchange, you know, your first ever black-owned stock, African-American-owned stock, because there's like 40 black African stock exchanges right now, and we're trying to build our own here, but we're looking for a host African country for it. You know, and also, like I said, I'm still working with Roosevelt with the African Bullion Bank, and we're going to basically be able to print bullion, current African own currency, you know, and backed up by gold bullion and other precious metals. Now, all these things right here is basically what we're doing on the continent, because we feel that's basically going to tie in to what we're doing right here in America. You know, there's no way we're going to be able to do what we're doing just being confined to the 50 states of America. It's not going to happen. So, therefore, it's like get in when you fit in. If a plan calls for we need people in South Africa, hey, if you want to go there, hey, you'll be able to do that. If you want to live in Tanzania, hey, you might want to do that. If you want to live in Australia, hey, you might want to do that. Brazil, if you want to live in Nigeria, fine. We're trying to be a global people just like everybody else. And with the Spiral Funding Program, we're going to make it possible that our people, if they qualify to get where you can't get loans from the bank, you can get loans funding from us, you know. And we're going to have responsibility. It's not going to hand out money. It's going to be all different types of criteria. You have to be vertically integrated. Your businesses and everything like that. If we got contractors in our system and everything, we're going to check on you. Where are you getting your work done at? You know, you give me a contract or you let money leak out of our system. You know, so it's a vertically integrated planning. It's a platform for vertical integration. We're going to have the software and everything like that to run it globally. You know, so
That's one aspect of nation building. Everything he talked about pertains to really economics. Now, on the other level, where's the soldiers who gonna protect that?
You're right about that.
This is where I'm coming from, and when I stated earlier, each one of us has that essence within us that solidifies our position within this nation building. The brother just solidified his position.
Right. Let me add to that. What you said about it's true. I said to myself, I said I had a brother in Namibia. He said, man, he goes, our country's only 1 million people, and we got these Europeans owning everything, Chinese, Jews, Arabs coming here. He said, why don't y'all come here and start buying land and settling? I said, I wish I could do that, but the black man in America, we talk all this noble stuff. How many people will go out there and live in a camp, a desert camp, and live off the land just to secure territory? You know, everybody talk all this stuff. When that's building, that's built, that's secure land. If you hold land, if you hold 100 square miles of land, well, that's yours. You know,
exactly.
That's yours. They can't take that away.
You ain't gonna get too many of these people. They consider going camping is to go in the backyard or sleep near the car. You know, as long as they call the electricity and running water, man, you gonna get a lot of.
If you wanna impress me, the day we can form our own militias that can go and protect our people overseas, but we're gonna need our own police, we're gonna need our security, our own intelligence. And everything, on security companies and everything like that. We're going to need all that on the continent.
And Tyler, that's another skill right there. You need to enlist our brother from the UK. He's sir. He's good with violence.
I'm serious. I'm serious. Come on, you know.
I'm serious too. That is another skill. That's a skill
too.
That we need to craft and we need to put amongst the youth. There's a whole bunch of skills out there that we need. We need to have them center and focus. It's going to be the foundation of the nation that's being built.
Probably serious, too. He's serious about it, too. But see, like I'm trying to say from a while back, is that I feel that we all got our way of contributing to this whole thing, and that's just his way of trying to contribute to it. So, you know, and it's going to take a bunch of us with different ideologies to try to get on one page. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. How do you feel about that, brother?
Has to be for self-defense. It can't be to just go beat people ass because they white and you don't like them.
Sister, I don't ever advocate violence on the white people because, like I said, that takes weapons. And we don't make no guns or nothing like that. So that would be stupid. We'd have to have better weapons than them. That would be crazy. I'm not talking about suicide. I'm just saying that we could have our community, our black community, whoever's our color, we should have, as an elder, I should talk to a youth and say, look, brother, I don't like the way you're rolled. You're looking bait on the streets. Soon, the police are going to come and pick you up. You understand? And, you know, he listens and he goes. You understand? Just that we can have control that, oh, well, they won't go and slap up a sister. Or they won't go and do, you know, certain things around us. You know, they won't go and bring the police in our community. And stuff like that. If they're going to go and sell drugs, they'll go outside of the area. If they're going to go and get themselves into beef, they'll keep it out of our community. Because when they come, there was an incident where there was a girl, these guys also had beef with some other guys, right? The brothers who had beef with this guy, he must have been going into a club. So what the other group gang did, the gang must have rained shots outside the club. They shot four girls. They killed two of them. Because they're trying to get one brother. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And I'm saying that the whole community, everyone knows who the fuck did it. This is what I'm trying to say. And nothing's happening to these brothers. Everyone's just staying silent. So these brothers, you get mothers who have to live with this, right? They ain't got no man around their house or no strong man who's going to go out and say, well, I know who it is. Let me go out and take their heads off. You understand? You ain't got none. There's no justice.
Can I ask a question?
When it's black on black, there's no justice. That's the problem. Go on, brother. That's what I'm saying.
I just want to bring it full circle and just ask everybody, should we have socioeconomic and political control over our environment? Yes or no?
Yes.
Then there we go. Let's build from there.
And then from there, I might add this, because this is one thing that a lot of us don't talk about, and there's nothing to really get into detail about, especially via the way we're having this particular conference or public discussion. Intelligence, intel, I should say, because unless you got proper intel to direct what you're talking about,
everything is umbrellaed under socioeconomic and political control. Everything is umbrellaed under that.
But that's what I mean. Now we cannot. Don't get me wrong. I agree with what you're saying. I agree 100% with what you're saying. But again, there has to be when we talking about nation building. I mean, for example, look at this country. You got your local police department. You got the sheriff's department. Then you got the county department. Then you got the FBI, DEA, CIA, Secret Service. You got all these particular agencies under that realm of the security force or whatever you want to call it, the defensive mechanism, Department of Defense, I should say. Now, when it comes to us and when it comes to what you're talking about on the economic level, that's the genius of what you all put together. Just like the genius of what others have put together. When would we not just recognize with what you got, beloved, and your the economic strategies that you all have and pulled together? But, again, there's brothers whose forte is not economics. They're not even thinking about economics. They purely on defensive strategy, purely on intelligence, purely on training people on this and that type of level.
But brother, that's the point that I'm making. Everything that you just spoke about falls under social, economic, and political control of your environment. There, nothing that you just mentioned is separate from that.
Exactly.
That's it.
So when do we sit at that table and pull that together? When do we take what you have, brother, take what others have, go over that, critique all of that, and bring together that umbrella that you've mentioned? I've always
now,
stated, just like I stated
you know,
earlier.
You know what is, brother? We need to know what has to come first, and I think the social needs to be dealt with first before we can go into something like what Brother Carl is saying. Because I don't agree with anything. I don't disagree with anything. I said I do agree. I mean, that's the wrong word. I agree with everything that the brother was saying. That's beautiful.
Oh.
I'm just trying to say that the reason why we can't come together as a bigger collective and a bigger whole is because we ain't dealt with the social issues. Because, like I said, we judging everyone by the way we judge the nigga next door.
But you're
you
not going to solve the social issues within somebody else's context. It's not going to happen.
Well, there you go. Then there's nothing we can do.
I've often used this analogy, and I'm going to end it right here. I often use this analogy because this is the thought that I have, along with many of us who sit at these meetings, and I always bring this up in meetings, forums, or what have you. When you see a house, they come with the blueprint. It's before they start building. Now,
mm-hmm.
like I said, we have to deal with the social issues. We have to deal with the economics. Yes, we got to deal with all of that because, as the brother stated, 100%, all of those tie in together. Now, but it's just like that house. I can't call the people who does the window, the people who do the window treatment, to come in and do the plumbing. That's not
right.
their job. They do the windows. The plumbers do the plumbers. The people, the electrician, he come in, he put all the wiring throughout. You know, he set it up to see how the wiring will go. Plumbers put
mm-hmm.
the pipes. The guy who does the drywall and the painting, the people who do the flooring, the people who lay the sod, the people who put the concrete, the cement. Everybody has a specific role to establish that house to your
right.
liking. Everybody
right.
don't have the same job. The biggest mistake that we do, we want people whose job is not in the description of another job to take on that job.
Exactly.
That's not how you go about this, brother. I can't go to an agriculturalist and ask him to break down the law for me because that's not his thing. He's not a lawyer. He's dealing with agriculture.
Right.
He can't break it down the law like the brother who's in that who deals with justice, who deals with Justice Department. Can do. That's not his forte. And so the biggest mistake, again, that we make, I've always said, like this brother, who clearly is grounded in economy. He knows many people, as he has, who deals with economics. Let them put together an economic team, and they could present to the people, to the representatives, however by name which you by which you want to choose for us as a people, a foundation upon which we can look at and roll with on the economic level. Just as brother mentioned about the farmers earlier, the farmers come together, put together their piece. Everybody put together their piece. While one person's working on the next thing while they working on their thing. Everybody cannot focus on the same damn thing because now everybody working on this, but then this is being negated. The oppressor don't roll. The oppressor do not roll like that. They don't roll
right.
like that.
I got one idea I want to throw out there. This is something we talked about a long time ago, years ago on David Hitch's show. at some point in time, we have to get together, and this has never been done in our history. I don't know why it hasn't been done. Why this foundation has never been laid for us by the last generation. We have to put together a platform. We have all these meetings with Pan-African. We had a big World Pan-African Day in Africa. All these countries participated, and they nominated the diaspora, African diaspora here as the fifth column of the African Union. And we have Brother Kabila that's head of the African Union, president of the African Union in America. And what I want to talk about is the fact that one of the platforms we have to put together is for a platform, the official position of the black nation in North America is that we want a certain amount of square miles to be protected territory, protectorate territory, by which we can administer. But that act right there alone will put you on the same level as any other country in the world. That's just the beginning. You know, and then you basically send people over and basically, you know, start doing things, land surveyors and stuff like that. This is where a port can be built. This is where this can be built and everything. You bring the engineers in to do the initial assessment and everything like that. But we definitely need, and then you need people basically scouts. You need soldiers and everything like that. But basically, we need to put that together. And the fact of the matter is, I don't see no black organization even coming up with that suggestion tells me that they have no long-term plan to exist. You know, that has to be done before it's too late.
Okay, brothers, sister, brothers, it's been a great show. I'm glad y'all came. And with that, Kayla, that was good information. We're going to do this again tomorrow. And I'm going to come in on the Comedic Pipeline show tomorrow. Explain that show again, Kayla.
It's Thursday.
Okay. It's going to be tomorrow?
Thursday night, either 9 or 10 o'clock. I'm not absolutely sure. One of those, 9 or 10 o'clock.
Hey, I'm going to give y'all a homework assignment. Bring some financial information about where we stand financially, because we can keep on talking about finances tomorrow.
I have no doubt. Let me tell you, though. I have no doubt that the financial part, because all the people that we have in banking, trusteeship, financing, bonds, rating, we have all those type of people. We have chemical engineers. I've come across black men that are chemical engineers, developers. So we have all those type of people, you know, that are nationalists. But there's no way
to
put together a real plan.
Brother.
I want to talk to you about my suggestion is an African fusion restaurant chain.
Man, I'm with that. You know, one of the things that I've been like, you know, because I remember we had that conversation on Facebook, and that's when I started really trying to do some other things, because I seen some of the recipes and stuff, and I love what I saw, but I want to go ahead and make sure we grab it from the ground, or we can go ahead and deal with some kind of hydroponic system to go ahead and deal with just some fruits and vegetables and fish at the same time.
Right. Hey, if I could must say, because I'm about to hop off myself, Brother Rob.
I know we all got commitments.
To get these brothers' information, Brother Rob, so that we could not just hear each other's mouths over this line, but use each other to help produce.
I'm gonna figure out something else. I think the conference call thing, we're gonna try and work out some other way and do the little video conferencing.
Before you end it.
You what?
I just wanna say I'm here to basically to soak up the information and throw out suggestions whenever I can. I have not for myself exactly figured out how I want to fit in and the things that I want to do, but it's something that I'm really strong on. And the thing that I'm mostly the strongest on, well, it's really two things. And the first thing is education. And when I say education, I mean that we need to teach these kids skills.
But that's where you fit in right there.
In all areas, we need to have skills. We need to have people skilled in martial arts and defense. We need to have them skilled in finances. We need to have them skilled in labor. And I heard this lady on the radio station here, and she said that her daughter was failing in school. She was a senior, and this was right before Christmas. She said she seen a sign on a bus stop that said $500 for tutoring. She told her daughter, "You will not have a Christmas
we're going to use this money to tutor you. And she said after that tutoring, her daughter got into a really great college. I don't think that we black people today focus that much on their child's education. And I think that the first thing we need to do is start going to people that have skills and that know certain things and have our kids put up under their wing to learn. If they got to go to these schools, we got to back up education with some type of skills. Like I said, it's black men out here that drive a car and don't know how to change a tire. And I think that's just sad. It's pathetic. It's men out here that can't put up a smoke detector in the house to save their babies. And we just don't have the basic skills, but everybody want money. If it wasn't no money going around, how would you live? You're going to have to barter a skill, and I think that's one of our main things. And I think the second thing is we got to stop whooping our kids. We just teaching them violence. Until I can find my way to fit in, I just can only focus on those two things to stress to people. You know, if your kids are slipping in school, they don't need no damn Xbox and no damn Jordans. They need a tutor.
There you go. Go ahead, brother.
I was just saying, I don't mean going around whooping our kids. I'm talking about the degenerate youth, the ones who are with their pants sagging. You know, that's what I'm talking about, the ones who are going out there. You know, like the youth that are causing the drama in Chicago. I'm talking about a collective of grown men. We go out and say, we ain't having that in these streets anymore. That's what I'm saying. I ain't talking about beating up your children. But obviously, if your child's out of line, yeah, and they're not going to respect, you know, oh, well, I take away your computer or I take away your TV, and they don't respect that. And they're still like, for example, you get some kids nowadays who are abusing their mother. Not raping her, but I mean talking rude to her. You understand? Mm-hmm. And they ain't got no man in the house to say, yo, to smack, you know, put him in place. If my son talks back to his mother, I'm going to slap him quick. You know,
Mr. Holicism, take us out.
Basically, I mean, I'm like a broken record. We can talk about these social issues all day long. Until we control the context we exist in, these are going to be perpetual problems. So unless we start thinking systematically, then we're not going to solve the problem. And that's all I really ever say.
Thank you. Hey, everybody, thanks for coming. We're going to do this again tomorrow. And I'm going to come together with some economic stuff tomorrow and some more stuff. We're going to talk a little bit more about that farming and then that fusion. Okay, Brother Holicism?
No doubt.
Okay. Yep. See you guys tomorrow.
Peace.
Peace, brothers.
Peace.